Arahang sama sambudo bagawa Buddhang bagawantang abiwademi. Suakato bagawata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasanggo sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. What I will do is I will make use of this time to share the remaining book because we only finish three. Yeah? Oh, we finished points. This brown book also we cover part of it already. This one is very important. Yeah? Importance of having mindfulness and heedfulness to cope with life's problem and suffering. A method of stress release via meditation. So this one was based on a Sunday Dhamma talk as delivered by me on the 23rd of June 2013 at SGBA. Huh? So this book is very good. Yeah, at that time, like I told you, there was a doctor who also attend. He's a psychiatrist. He got very interested. Yeah. Okay, now I will read to you the preface. I think this book I didn't ask you to bring. Do we have any copy at the back? Ayo, so I cannot pass to Manjuan or Tammy and I have to read. Ah, you read. Preface. Yeah, preface.
Preface. Basing on some very good feedbacks and suggestions from the audience and some of our Kayana meters who had the condition to listen to this talk, Brother Teo had agreed to allow this talk to be transcribed and printed into a booklet form for free distribution to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive it. It is also Brother Teo's sincere wish that Dharma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of the enclosed Dhamma transcript notes to develop a better understanding of the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all of humanity and the world. As these notes were mostly compiled based on the direct transcript from the recording of the Dhamma talk delivered by Brother Teo at SJBA on the 23rd of June 2013, the text is aligned as closely as possible to the colloquial speech in that talk. However, some editorial amendments have been made to the text without detracting from the essence of the talk. With this, it is hoped that readers can adjust themselves accordingly to better understand its true meaning and intent. A good way to do this is to listen to the recordings first before reading this transcript book. To listen to the recording, you can log on to our broteo.com
can
website.
Skip that.
Okay. Biodata.
Yeah, read.
Read. Okay. Brother Teo graduated from University of Malaya in Civil Engineering in 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner cum meditator since 1971. Since his retirement in 2001 from his engineering career, he has been sharing his understanding and experiences with those who are keen in their search for true happiness, peace, and liberation from birth and death and all mental suffering, so that they can be a blessing to all via becoming a more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human being. He gives Dhamma talks and holds meditation classes and retreats and weekly Dhamma classes at various meditation centers, Buddhist society, and places that invite him. For more details on Brother Teo's Dhamma activities and his Kayana Mitaship grouping, please log on to his Dhamma website at broteo.com. Acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intentions that these Dhamma transcript books be given free to those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dharma friends or Kayanamitas who have donated and helped out in the transcription, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dharma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Chi Gui Ying Puan Chi, who has taken her own initiative to volunteer to develop the initial draft transcript for my subsequent editing, without instruction or request from anyone, thereby enabling this Dharma transcript book to be printed. Her email to me was as follows. Dear Brother Teo, attached is the draft transcript for the 23rd June 2013 SJBA talk. I am most grateful that my understanding is deepening through my own cultivation and each time I do the transcript. Maha Sadhu, Brother Teo, for your clear pointing and guidance. With deepest gratitude and metta always, Chi. By the power of all this wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical sufferings and dangers, and may there be love, peace, and joy deep within their hearts. And may it also pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dharma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or another to realize their good and noble wishes, aspirations, soon as possible. With metta always, Brother Teo Kian Kun, dated 30th January 2018. Importance of mindfulness and heedfulness to cope with life's problems and suffering. A method of stress release via meditation. Introduction. Synopsis and notice of talk by SJBA. Subject, Dharma talk on importance of mindfulness and heedfulness to cope with life's problems and suffering. Brother Teo Kian Kun is giving a Dharma talk at SJBA this Sunday, 23rd June 2013 at 10 a.m. on the topic, Importance of Mindfulness and Heedfulness to Cope with Life's Problems and Suffering. As this topic is very relevant to life, it is hoped that you all can find the time to attend this rather important talk. Human sufferings are very real, and many people are afflicted by it. Even our youngsters are not exempted from it. Some of them can be very traumatic, with suicidal tendencies, grief, sorrow, lamentation, fear, worries, and anxieties, leading to severe depression and sadness, etc., are very common nowadays. Some consult doctors, psychiatrists, mediums, feng shui masters, some seek God, religions, and friends for help. But are they really effective? Maybe some are, but most of them are only temporary solutions, which may not be effective at all. Instead, can meditation together with understanding and medication help? If you are interested in such topics, then do come for the talk. You can also bring your friends if you like. So hope to see you all this Sunday, 23rd June 2013. Mm-hmm. 1.2. Yeah. Introduction by Brother Chim, SJBA, President of SJBA. Today's Dharma talk is by Brother Teo Kian Kun on the topic Importance of Mindfulness and Heedfulness to Cope with Life's Problems and Suffering, a Method of Stress Release via Meditation. This Dharma talk is in line with SJBA's mission statement to build a friendly and caring Dharma center filled with love, compassion, and wisdom, where there are lots of members and devotees with smiling faces, warm greetings, and friendly demeanor to lend their listening ears, loving care, and kindness. Without problem and stress, all these are achievable. Brother Kian Kun graduated from the University of Malaya in Civil Engineering in February 1979. He has been a spiritual practitioner and meditator since 1971.
No need to repeat.
Okay, I'll skip this part. Yeah. Okay, 2. Dharma Talk Proper by Brother Teo. Thank you so much to Brother Chim for the kind introduction. A very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dharma. Today's topic, as you have heard, is on the importance of heedfulness and mindfulness to cope with life's problems and suffering. I think this topic is very important, and that's the reason why I chose this topic at the beginning of the year when SJBA wrote to me for my Dharma talks schedule for this year. Like what I have explained in the synopsis, that part was written by me. Human sufferings are very real. Most of us have gone through life. We have experienced a lot of ups and downs in life. But not everybody is that fortunate and blessed. If you have not taken care of your life properly, if you don't have the good karma to support you, then as you go through life, There are a lot of situations or life realities that can afflict you and make you miserable. This is what the essence of the Buddha's teaching is all about. 2.1. Essence of the Buddha's teaching. According to the Buddha, the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. And these Four Noble Truths all center on suffering, or dukkha. Dukkha is a Pali word. He said human suffering is so real that liberation from birth and death, from all suffering that comes with birth and death, is not easy. That's why the Buddha actually spent a lot of time for aeons and aeons cultivating wisdom and virtue. Then finally, he realized the complete enlightenment. He came to realize this very important truth about life and existence. He called it the Four Noble Truths. This Four Noble Truths focuses solely on dukkha, which is living beings suffering or misery and problems. The First Noble Truth talks about the realities of life and existence that can bring about dukkha. The Buddha said if you live long enough, you will confront all these realities. He has highlighted 8 of them in his First Noble Truth proclamation. He said birth, old age, sickness and death. If you confront them without wisdom, suffering will be the result. We have all experienced birth in our lives. We have witnessed them too, and sometimes encountered them ourselves. During moments of sickness, disease, and pending death or death, these experiences can be very traumatic. A lot of people are afflicted and affected. Then the Buddha said, the other realities are even more significant. As you move on and step into life, he said, you will confront more severe realities. First major reality is confronting separation from loved ones, from your prized possessions, from your property, wealth, and things that you hold onto dearly, including all those that you have given so much meaning to, that you held onto so dearly. When separation happens, suffering is going to be the result unless you have developed the wisdom to confront them. Regarding this aspect, the Buddha has highlighted a few possibilities. He said, one of the possibilities of separation is divorce. That arises from relationship failure. When you face situations where the spouse or the couple are having problems and they cannot move on with their relationship, even those who are not married are not exempted, then separation can happen. Then both may suffer. And not only the couple suffers, the children are also affected, including the in-laws and all those who have relationship with them. They are all affected. The other aspect of separation is death. Death can happen in many ways, through disease, sickness, through what you call accidental death, or sometimes it can even happen via various types of accidents. Nature's disasters like tsunami, hurricane, twister, earthquake, flood, etc. Then sometimes it can even happen during normal life situations, via kidnap, murder, snatch thief, and other related incidences. If it has not happened to us, then maybe it doesn't impact upon us as severely. But when you are affected, it can be rather traumatic. Then forced separation is another possibility, the Buddha said. When you are young, because of poverty, then sometimes because of crisis, you get separated from your children, your brothers and sisters, and all those things. Then moving on, the Buddha said, as you move through life, you will encounter situations where you have to meet up with a lot of people whom you don't like and or you cannot be at peace with. When you encounter these people without wisdom, the Buddha said, suffering will arise. You heard a lot about child abuse, right? Even in school, the school children are not exempted. The gangsters, the bullies are quite common nowadays. Then sometimes you work in a career environment where you are subjected to a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of deadlines, and have to meet because you may have certain bosses or superiors that are not so friendly. Then sometimes they go by this very harsh type of management technique and principles, management by harassment and fear. They harass you and put fear into you. Under such circumstances or situation, you can be subjected to an environment of very traumatic stress, full of fear, worry, and anxiety, leading to depression. These situations are very common nowadays. Even young people are subject to it. The energy fields are very negative when you are faced with such situations. Then there is also what they call certain problems related to in-laws. Sometimes when your parents remarry, you will have to confront your stepmother and stepfather. Sometimes they can be quite abusive and not so friendly. Sometimes they can even do very severe things that can cause you a lot of suffering. You have heard of incest, child abuse, and sexual harassment, right? Then the other reality that almost every day living beings are subjected to, the degree somewhat varies, is what the Buddha called when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met. Suffering is the result unless you have wisdom. This part affects a lot of people, but the more severe one is, through not understanding life and the Buddha's teaching, living beings deludedly grasp and cling onto their five aggregates of form and mind, believing them to be real. The Buddha summarized all of suffering as follows. He said, in short, it is due to human delusion or ignorance that conditioned them to grasp, cling, and hold onto his entity, which we call the human being, thinking that this is real, thinking that this is what we are, is the cause of our suffering. Then he breaks the human being down into the five aggregates of form and mind. He said, as a human being, you have a physical body, a physical form, and then you have a mind, a consciousness that is trapped inside. This consciousness that is trapped inside can be broken down further into four more aggregates of mind. The reason being, the consciousness of the mind that is trapped inside can feel, can perceive the world, the reality, and it can also arise emotions, mental states, thought processes, thinking, etc. He called this sankhara. Then he said, our mind and consciousness together with this physical body that has the sense basis can allow us to be conscious of things. We have the organs of the eye, ear, etc. So we can be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel and think. These are the karmically conditioned form and mind that comes with birth. You are actually endowed with all these beautiful senses, but you don't know what they are. You deludedly grasp and cling. The Buddha said, when you do that, suffering will arise, because craving leads to grasping, clinging, and attachment, which are the cause of suffering. So because of your ignorance and delusion, you grasp and cling and hold on to these five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that they are what you are, and they are real. They are so real. And because of that, it conditions your wrong view, that conditions you to grasp, cling, and arise the craving to be afflicted. And the end result is suffering when you don't understand. Oh, and the end result is suffering when you don't understand. So this is the final summary of the First Noble Truth, the reality of life and existence, and what suffering is. First, he explained to you clearly how you get yourself entangled and how you get yourself afflicted by all these realities of life and existence, which not only you are subjected to, but all of humanity and living beings who have lived long enough are also subject to it. It is a common problem. It is a universal problem of humanity. So the Buddha's intention is to liberate from birth and death, because with birth, it will end up with death. And in between, there is what he called the reality of life, which will afflict you and make you miserable. So this First Noble Truth is very important. A lot of living beings suffer without knowing why they suffer, why they are afflicted. Suffering is so real, but they cannot see. They still blame other people and the world for what happened, despite their fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation leading to severe depression and miseries. And nowadays, if you take a look at the modern younger generation, they are already subjected to a lot of stress and pressure, leading to depression at a very young age. They end up seeing psychiatrists and trauma doctors, and you can see them in hospitals. You can also check around. Almost every family, every living being who have lived long enough, they must have gone through a lot of stressful moments and suffering, which is a very common phenomenon. Then the Buddha moved on to the Second Noble Truth. He said, there is a cause behind this suffering. And the cause he already explained under the final summary of the First Noble Truth. It's your ignorance your delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling via craving. Craving can be positive and negative. Craving can be positive and negative craving via wanting things your way. When you cannot get what you want, suffering is the end result. Because the delusion conditions you to crave, to cling, to hold, to grasp via thinking they are real, thinking you can own them and you can have them. Just like this body, if you attach and cling to this body, thinking that it is you, then what happened? You will worry about it getting old, getting sick, and one day die, isn't it? This is because you don't understand who you are, and what death is. That's why without heedfulness and mindfulness, you cannot understand life. So the Buddha said, the very basis of living a holy life is to understand life. And how can we understand life? We need to understand the important laws that govern all of life and existence. And these laws have two parts. One is the scientific law or materialistic law within the conditioned world of materialism. The other one is the spiritual law that can enable you to develop the spiritual understanding and wisdom to understand spiritual aspects of life. And when you understand these laws, you will understand the secret of life, because these are the laws that govern life and existence. The Four Noble Truths is one of the most important spiritual laws that you need to truly understand. So the Buddha first explained what is suffering via proclaiming the First Noble Truth of dukkha, of suffering. Then the Second Noble Truth of the cause of suffering, the Second Noble Truth of the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, born of your self-delusion and ignorance. Then he moved on to say, there is a Third Noble Truth on cessation of dukkha, the ending of dukkha, the liberation of the mind, the realization of enlightenment, where the Buddha said, suffering need not be when you have the wisdom. When you have trained your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to develop the meditation as taught by him, so that you can realize the Dhamma or the wisdom that he has taught us, the noble truth he had realized and taught to us. Then enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Suffering need not be. All of life problems can come to an end. This is the part that we are interested in, the realization of Nibbana, the enlightenment, that can bring about complete liberation from human suffering, from all mental suffering, free from all life problems and situations, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sorrow and lamentation, no more of all those depression and negativity. Then after that, the Buddha moved on to the final noble truth, which is the fourth noble truth. He not only said what is possible, he even taught you how to do it. He said under this fourth noble truth, there is a path that can lead us to the end of all suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which has eight noble path factors that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones, then it will lead to the end of or cessation of all suffering. Then no more problem, no more suffering. This is basically the introduction and a summary to explain to you how beautiful the Buddha Dhamma is, how beautiful the Buddha's message is, and how fortunate we are as Buddhists to have this teaching that can give rise to such good understanding of life.
Now, so this one, is it true or not? You are very fortunate, isn't it, as a Buddhist, to have this teaching. Otherwise, I tell you, you blur. Every day also, bo song. Okay, continue.
Now I will go into the Dhamma talk proper. If you may recall, the Buddha, before he passed away or before he entered Nibbana, they call it the Great Parinibbana of the Buddha. Over 2,500 plus years ago, what was his final instruction to all his disciples and his lay devotees? Can you all remember? What did the Buddha say? Some of you may know. Anybody? Ah, yes. Very good. And sadhu. Strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless anymore. The Pali word is apamadena sampadeta. This is the final advice. Why did the Buddha say that? Because according to the Buddha, he has realized this rather important truth, that the only mind quality that you need to have is this heedfulness or mindfulness. Then you are assured of the spiritual life, the noble life, and enlightenment will follow. So it sounds quite easy, isn't it? I only need to be heedful or mindful. Then I am already on the path to enlightenment. And all these, the Buddha actually mentioned and emphasized on them under his Dhammapada verses. Have you all heard of these Dhammapada verses 21, 22, and 23? Under the Dhammapada, there are 423 verses that the Buddha spoke, and these are all eternal truth. Even until today, each and every of these Dhammapada verses still stand, never get obsolete, because they are evergreen. During my early days, I tried to contemplate and reflect, how can the Buddha be so wise? 423 of these evergreen truths asked me to come up with one truth that can last a century or two, also not easy, because a lot of the so-called truth that living beings come up with, sooner or later, they become obsolete. Even certain scientific truths can also become obsolete. Later understanding will make them obsolete. But the Buddha is so wise. All these Dhammapada verses that he spoke 2,500 plus years ago had remained eternally valid until today. That's why it's very unique. There are 20 verses within this Appamada Vaga. Appamada is heedfulness. The verses on heedfulness. And the starting verse is verse 21. And the Buddha made it very clear. He said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful will never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. This is a very important truth. It explains to you clearly the importance of heedfulness. Without heedfulness, he said, you are as if dead. What does it mean? It means you may be alive, conscious of life, but you are spiritually dead because there is no spiritual life for you anymore. That's why you are as if dead, because through delusion, through ignorance, you only existed through life. You never live. Whereas the heedful never die, because for those who are heedful, they understand through their cultivation and wisdom what death is. And they understand clearly nothing dies and no one dies, because it is anatta, non-self, an empty nature of existence. So because of that, the heedful never die, and they are destined for enlightenment, because Dhammapada verses 22 and 23 that follow clearly pointed out to the monks and the devotees at that time the importance of heedfulness. Dhammapada verse 22 is the continuation of verse 21. The Buddha said, clearly and distinctly understanding the great difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise intent on heedfulness. And because they do that, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas or the enlightened ones. See, when you intend on heedfulness, you will be assured of enlightenment. You can rejoice in the realm of the enlightened beings, the Aryas. Then verse 23 confirms everything. Under Dhammapada verse 23, the Buddha said, the ever mindful, constantly meditative, and the steadfast one, they will definitely realize the supreme bond-free enlightenment that he called Nibbana. So what is ever mindful? Ever mindful means you are most of the time continuously aware and mindful. Then, constantly meditative means using this mindfulness that you have developed or trained to constantly cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Within this Noble Eightfold Path is also the Four Noble Truth Cultivation, as stated under the first path factor of right view and the seventh path factor of Sammasati under the fifth category of practices of Dhamma Nupassana, the four foundations of mindfulness. All his essential Dhamma or teachings spin off from the Four Noble Truths. That's why when you use it to cultivate the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, That's why when you use it to cultivate the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, that is constantly meditative. So when you combine these two, ever mindful and constantly meditative, you become heedful. The steadfast ones means you hold on to these heedfulness practices steadfastly or continuously. You are destined to realize this supreme bond-free Nibbana. Importance of heedfulness. This is the most important Dhammapada verse that you should bear in mind. That's why heedfulness is very important. Heedfulness will lead you to the cultivation of the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, and only this can free you, nothing else in this world. This brings me back to the point where during the month of February, I was supposed to have my first scheduled talk on the benefits of meditation here, but I didn't have the chance to come and give that talk, which I must sincerely apologize because I had to go through an angioplasty procedure. So I missed out on that talk, but don't worry, I will include that topic in my today's Dhamma talk because they are related. Heedfulness will lead to the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So today, I will just add in this part, the benefits of meditation. When you are heedful, what does it mean? It means you are ever mindful, plus constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this is most important because, like what we had discussed just now, the fourth Noble Truth is about cultivating this Noble Eightfold Path. If you cultivate this Eightfold Path, it will lead to the cessation of all suffering. All of life's problems will cease to be. So heedfulness equals ever mindful plus constantly meditative. Without mindfulness, you cannot start. Mindfulness is an English translation of the word sati, used by the Buddha. The real meaning of sati or mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. When you are silent and aware before the thought or aggregates of mind come out, that is sati. And when you are in sati, you can see things as they are. Your mind are not clouded by thought, by the aggregates of mind. There is no activity and no movement inside, but the awareness can allow you to see things as they are, to awaken to the truth and the reality. That's how you cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. That's how wisdom comes to be. This will bring us to the topic, the benefits of meditation, which I wanted to include in my today's talk. Since heedfulness can lead us to the meditation as taught by the Buddha, then what are the benefits that can arise with this type of meditation? Can anybody try and give me some answers? Some of you have done meditation before, right? So what are the benefits that will come your way if you do this type of meditation? We call it the mindfulness meditation. Anybody wants to try? The first benefit is very simple and obvious, isn't it? When you meditate, what happens to you? You become more peaceful and calmer, isn't it? So what type of benefit is it? You gain inner peace, right? Inner peace is very important, for peace is very difficult to come by nowadays. If you can get inner peace, it can help you so much in life, especially so when you are in the midst of suffering, having a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and your mind very restless because you have problems related to life. Do you all know what the common problems of life are? Just now we shared the eight realities of life and existence, which is the Buddha's way of explaining life situation and problems during the early days. But nowadays, society has evolved and become more sophisticated. So we can actually reclassify the eight realities into actual human problems and suffering that you can relate to. Let us now summarize what the First Noble Truth is. The First Noble Truth. The First Noble Truth's eight realities of life and existence are, first, he talked about birth, old age, sickness, and death. Old age, sickness, birth, and death, we can relate them to your health problems, isn't it? Especially getting old, having sickness, and facing death. These are rather traumatic problems that human beings have to confront. Nowadays, cancer, stroke, heart attack, and a lot of other rather traumatic diseases such as HIV, brain tumor, kidney failure, etc. are very common. So health problems are very real. When you and your loved ones are confronted with these types of very severe health issues, it can give rise to a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness, leading to depression. the thought will project and you will attach, cling and hold via delusion because you don't understand what is going on. So health problem is a major problem. Then, of course, we have the next reality, which is old age. Old age means going through the aging process, which can be equally traumatic because you can develop what they call very severe dementia and arthritis problems. Then as you age, your senses start to fail you and your health starts to deteriorate. You become very fragile, very weak, and you are full of health-related problems. This is what the Buddha labeled as old age or the reality of aging. So physical suffering leading to mental suffering is very common because physically you are affected through old age and your consciousness, which is trapped inside, will feel it. Sometimes you don't need old age to cause such suffering. When you have an injury due to accident, you have to confront them too because your consciousness is trapped inside. There is a lot of pain, a lot of suffering leading to insomnia, inability to have proper sleep, sadness and depression. Then the third reality is what they call money problem. Money problem in modern term is called financial problem. This one can be very real, isn't it? Those with financial problem, especially those who got themselves entangled with loan sharks, can have very severe problem. Then sometimes when you are confronted with poverty, or your children need to go to university, or you need money to resolve certain issues, like to help them go through the operation or medical procedure, and you don't have the money, especially if they want to go to university, and you become desperate. So financial problem can be quite an issue. Then when you are in business, you are caught in a situation where you are short of capital, and you have cash flow problem, and you may be wiped off. That can be very traumatic too. Then when your business is not doing well, you have cash flow problems, financial problems leading to fear of business failure, bankruptcy, etc. Even young graduates nowadays, a lot of them have credit card problems leading to legal actions by the bank. You have heard of these, right? Some of them are already bankrupt because a high percentage of them just survive on credit card via paying the 5% minimum charge. Then the fourth reality is career related. This one, career problem can be very severe too. What else can torment you? Relationship problem, isn't it? Your relationship with your loved ones. This is to help us redefine the first noble truth realities. And these are very real problems. And even if you are very successful in life, when you confront some of these realities or problems, you can still become afflicted. Because relationship problems is not something money can help you solve. It can help resolve. Or health issues and problem is also not something money can really help you to resolve. It may bring about better conditions or better medical services and affordability, but it doesn't finally help you out because money cannot buy health. Then when it comes to mental suffering, it is worse. The sixth reality is mental suffering. That's why we have a lot of depression cases nowadays. They have mental issues. They can't actually live with those thoughts, those very negative, obsessive, compulsive, and intrusive thoughts that constantly arise in their mind, leading to suicidal thoughts, etc. Nowadays, psychiatrists recognize such mental problem and call it OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Then the seventh reality is when you break the law, when you overstep the line, when you get yourself into legal problems and entanglement. So all these can be very traumatic, very severe, and it can bring about a lot of problems, especially those problems involving police cases. Especially if your children or loved ones are involved in drugs, murder, crime, etc. All these can be very serious, and the fear they go through can be very severe. Those who have experienced all these will know, all these are very real life related issues. Benefits of meditation. The benefits of meditation are very important. When you are faced with all these life related problems, for normal people, their minds are very restless, with a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and sadness, and these are all negative energy fields which can cause your immune system to go down. The reason being, Fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation can cause your cells to mutate and become stressful. So this is the source of traumatic disease, leading to death. When you are confronted with all these and you don't know how to recuperate or recover from it, then you go and see doctors. What they can do for you is give you some form of medication. Maybe physically they can have an impact on you, but most of the time they will tell you it's more of a mental problem. They cannot help you in that sense. Then you go see psychiatrists. Psychiatrists also depend on which one you see. There are some that are quite good. They know how to monitor you and lead you out of it. But most of the time, it is not a permanent fix or solution because most of them may not have the Dharma to explain to you clearly how you get yourself entangled. Most of them use drugs, tranquilizer and medication to help you sleep better and to stabilize your chemical imbalance to make you feel better. Like when you have this panic attack, anxiety, insomnia leading to depression, and all those mental related issues, what do? They will give you some medication. Most of it is sedative. They call it tranquilizer that make you sleepy because most people with depression cannot sleep. They get insomnia problem and they become very miserable. That's why it leads to suicidal thoughts and tendencies. And it's very traumatic because they want to sleep, but they cannot sleep. They want to be peaceful, but they cannot because these panic attacks can come anytime. There's a lot of fear in them. So this type of suffering, which is mental suffering, is so real. How are we going to deal with it? The Buddha said, you develop heedfulness. To develop heedfulness, you must train your mundane, heedless thinking mind in awareness or mindfulness. Then from there, use it to meditate, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to heedfulness. When you start to meditate, the benefits of meditation will help you recover and recuperate from all these so-called negative energy fields or mind states that can cause your immune system to go down and for you to succumb to all these diseases. When you are mindful, aware, and without thought, you are very serene, very peaceful, and very calm. So inner peace is the first mental benefit that can come about with this type of meditation. This inner peace, born of piti, will arise when you are mindful without thought. Piti is a meditative joy or rapture. So when you have inner peace, you will have this piti, leading to sukhang. Sukhang is mental blissfulness, leading to the tranquility or stillness of mind, or the state of pasadi. Pasadi is the silent mind, the mind that is without thought and just aware. The silent mind will make you very peaceful and very calm. So this inner peace will bring about a lot of good positive stillness and silent energy. And this positive mental energy is conserved because it's not lost in thoughts. It's not channeled into fear, worry, anxiety, and wrong thoughts. During this moment, you can understand truth because there is clarity. And if you use it to radiate metta or loving kindness, it can bring about the second benefit, which is inner well-being. Your mind and heart feel a lot better. You feel a lot more peaceful, calmer, more positive, and more confident within. This inner peace, inner well-being will lead to third benefit, which is the clarity of mind. Your mind has clarity because it's not preoccupied with fear, worry, and anxiety, and it's also not restless or confused. When you are very peaceful and calm, you have clarity. You can reflect and contemplate into whatever life's issues or problems that you have. Then with that clarity, you can develop some form of understanding to cope with it, to overcome it. That's how meditation can help you in a very big way. But the most important thing is to use this clarity of mind, which is a silent mind, to meditate and arise the wisdom via seeing things as they are. That's why the fourth benefit is wisdom. The wisdom that arises from proper meditation can free your mind. And when you meditate with heedfulness, awareness and clarity of mind, you can know exactly how you get yourself entangled in life, how you actually via delusion grasp, cling, hold and react to arise the craving which condition your suffering, how the evil roots come to be and make you evil, and how the evil roots condition your mental suffering. So all these you will start to understand. Then you will also start to understand the noble truth very clearly. The Buddha's words will become very clear to you. The realities of life and existence, the first eight conditions of realities that the Buddha spoke about, will also be very clear to you. Then all these that I had mentioned will also become very clear to you. If you don't have delusion, all these negativities of mind states will not arise. That's why the Buddha said, suffering need not be when you have the wisdom, when you have the understanding. When you are able to develop inner peace, it means every time you have a problem, you just go back to a quiet place to meditate and silence your mind, so that it will help, so that it will develop the inner peace and inner well-being. But this is only temporary solution in the sense that when you are out of it and back to life, the problem can come back to you. That's why when you have these two states of inner peace and inner well-being, you will have this clarity of mind, and then you must use it to meditate to develop the wisdom. Because without wisdom, you cannot free yourself. But when wisdom comes to be, all the delusion that conditions you to grasp, cling and hold and make you miserable will slowly and surely fade away, leading to the happiness and joy deep within your mind. Because for the first time in your life, you understand there is a way out of suffering. This way is so beautiful, and the Buddha has taught it to us so clearly. That's why when you start to insight into reality, life and existence, the characteristics of nature, and when you start to understand the noble teaching of impermanence, suffering state and non-self or anicca, dukkha, anatta, your mind opens up. It liberates the mind, because that clarity leading to the wisdom is so powerful. It cuts across all delusion and frees you completely. And for the first time in your life, life becomes meaningful. Life becomes beautiful. No more suffering, no more problems. Then after that, the associated benefits will come. You will have good sleep. A lot of them with insomnia problems will like this. Then you can use this meditative mind to do good and other wholesome things so that you can be a blessing to the world. And when you radiate more metta, cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path more and more, you will become more virtuous. You will have right views, which means you understand the secret of life. You understand the spiritual law that governs life and existence. You are no longer deluded. Then it will condition you to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action, and you will become such a beautiful living being. Then the way you live your life is based on right living and right livelihood. You will constantly cultivate the four right efforts to purify your thought and to make yourself more and more virtuous with less and less negativity. And finally, you develop mindfulness leading to heedfulness and the samadhi to realize the enlightenment. That's why Noble Eightfold Path is very powerful. When you have them, it can actually help you in a very big way. So once your mind is trained, peaceful, with inner peace, leading to inner well-being, clarity, and wisdom, you will not have any more worry, fear, and anxiety, or any other negativity of mind states. Your mind will not have any more attachment and craving. It's a free mind. That's how this mind can sleep very well. There is very good sleep, and to have good sleep is not easy. Do you know that? For those who have insomnia, they will know. For some, after taking the sleeping pill that a psychiatrist or doctor has given them, they will have good sleep and they feel very good. But most of these sedative medication that they give you, after you wake up, you are still groggy. But at least it prevents your mental activity from causing you insomnia. So it's like knock you out, make you unconscious. Just like when you take antibiotics, It's to knock you off so that your internal system will have a chance to recuperate, so that this nature can actually bring about recovery or healing. The reason being, when you are thinking, your negative thoughts prevent your nature from working on the necessary requisite conditions to recuperate you. That's why when you have good and deep sleep, it's like you feel recharged the next day. Sometimes, if you know how to meditate, when you are very tired, you just silence your mind to meditate for 5, 10 or 20 minutes. You will recover very well and you will feel very good, because the inner peace and inner calmness and inner well-being can heal and recuperate the cells. All those cells that have been stressed out and tired, they are like recharged. The positive energy makes them feel good, and your immune system recover. So good sleep is one of them. Then with this clarity of mind and ability to see things clearly, you will be able to study better or do your work with more efficiently. Which means whatever thing that you attempt to do, like career, research, or whatever, you will and you can do them more efficiently. You need to have this type of mind for you to be a blessing to all. When you have the meditation, the wisdom, and the Noble Eightfold Path cultivated, you are very beautiful. You can be a blessing not only to you, but to all, that is, to your loved ones, your friends, your colleagues, and anybody who has relationship with you, to society, to the community, and even to the environment and the planetary consciousness, because every thought you arise is so beautiful. This is the last benefit, blessing to all. So all these are the important benefits of meditation that can arise the moment you develop heedfulness. And heedfulness comes from mindfulness. And to be mindful, you need to understand two things which the Buddha actually explained very clearly under his teaching. He said human beings are not peaceful, not mindful, and not able to develop the meditative or inner peace and the inner calmness to meditate because they have a lot of mental hindrances. He called them the five mental hindrances of mind. These five mental hindrances are very real. He said the first two are your sensual desire and your ill will. These two are a pair, and is also related to your evil roots of greed and hatred. Every time you see something, you hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactilely feel and think without wisdom, and the equanimity without wisdom and the equanimity of mind and the samadhi, you will react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, etc. And your reaction is always either negative or positive. If you like the sensual experience, then you have positive craving, and that is sensual desire. The moment you develop this, your mind is distracted. You are preoccupied with that sense experience, there is no more clarity, and you cannot meditate anymore because this mind that is preoccupied with sensual experience is lost in thought, hence heedless. Then when you react negatively, you arise fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, and dislike. That's why you have a lot of likes and dislikes, pleasant and unpleasant sense experiences, and these are the dualities of life. These are the first two hindrances of mind which hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace and calmness. That's why there is no more inner peace, inner calmness leading to inner well-being. So this aspect of understanding is very important. The third hindrance is sleepiness, lethargic mind, sloth and torpor. The Buddha said if you don't understand the importance of meditation, of training this mind to be mindful, to be heedful, and you don't see the importance of it because you cannot understand life, then you will feel sleepy. It's just like when you attend a class you don't like, you don't know what's going on, and you feel very sleepy. That sleepiness is a mental hindrance. When you are sleepy, you are not aware. The mind doesn't have clarity. That is why you cannot be peaceful and you cannot meditate. The Buddha said the fourth hindrance, which is restlessness of mind, is the worst. Which means your mind becomes very agitated and restless. Why did it happen? Why are you not happy and peaceful? It's because You have problems like health problems, financial problem, career problem, relationship problem, mental problem, old age and sickness, the fear of death, children's problem, in-law problem, neighbor's problem, etc. So all these problems lead to fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow, and lamentation. That's why your mind becomes restless and it is not peaceful because of your worries, fear, and anxiety. Nowadays, a lot of parents worry about their children, their career, their relationship, and their children's future. Then you also have so many things to worry about: your health problem, your financial position, your business, your relationship with people, etc. There are so many things that can make you full of worry, anxiety, and fear. So when these things comes about, your mind is not peaceful, restless, agitated, and you will think a lot. The more you think, the more fear arises, because it projects the thoughts. What happened if so and so? These words are not a reality yet, but you projected those thoughts and developed the fear unnecessarily. That's how you become anxious. When your children don't come back in time, they are late, especially so if they are your daughters. You may worry like mad. Then sometimes spouse or the husband went out 12 o'clock, midnight, still not back yet. You're still wide awake waiting and waiting. Call, the handphone no reply, because switched off, and you worry more. When he comes back, you get angry because of all sorts of thoughts went through your mind. You think that fellow is trying to do something funny outside. You confront him by asking, why don't you on your handphone? So all these misunderstandings can lead to further suffering in life when there is lack of trust, when there is no sincerity in the relationship, when there is no understanding of each other. Then suffering becomes more and more real. Then when you take things for granted, especially between spouses, when you don't know how to arise the appropriate right speeches to make them feel good and happy, when you do not appreciate their contribution to the family unit, then problems and misunderstanding will arise. That's why you must appreciate life. Do appreciate what they have done for you, their love, their care, and their sacrifices. Even as children, you should appreciate what your parents have done for you. And as parents, we should appreciate how our children actually think of us, help us in whatever way. Especially between spouses, if you take things for granted, there is no more appreciation and love, then it develops hatred and misunderstandings. You can see this very clearly because they always argue, the ego will take over. And every time they argue, there is no right speech anymore. Gentle, pleasant, and kind speeches all gone and no more. Only angry and egoic speeches comes to be. So life is like that. When you don't have wisdom, when you don't have understanding, the mind gets agitated because of the wrong thought. That's why cultivating Noble Eightfold Path is about abandoning wrong thought and cultivating right thought. Wrong thought are thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, misery, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, etc. These are all wrong thoughts. So very easy, isn't it? Whenever you are not happy and peaceful, whatever you think are the wrong thoughts. Then, what are right thoughts? If you have right thought, it will condition you to have right speech, right action, and right livelihood following the Noble Eightfold Path. Then life becomes beautiful. So what are right thoughts? The easiest answer is what? Thoughts that don't have the evil roots. Anything that is not wrong thought is right thought, isn't it? But you don't know how to put it into practice. So you actually have to reflect and contemplate on what constitutes right thought. In the text, it is mentioned that the four Brahma Vihara are the four right thoughts. When you have that as the base, it becomes right thought. But you must understand what these are. The first Brahma Vihara state is metta. When you have metta, you have right thought. Do you know what metta is? True metta is universal love. When you have metta, you can never get angry, you can never get jealous. There is no more negativity, there is only love. So when you arise thoughts based on love, There is no anger, envy, and jealousy. They are gone because you really love, and with this love, you can only radiate well-being and happiness to all. And right thought that has love should be the basis for good relationship. When I love you, I respect you. I appreciate what you have done. I care for you, and I will talk to you very nicely. I'm no longer angry with you. I accept you for what you are. Then I will do my best to bring about good relationship via arising the kind, gentle, and pleasant speeches that can bring about happiness, joy, harmony, and understanding to our life and relationship. Then the family unit becomes beautiful. You can go back and try it out. For the first time, if you can go back and tell your wife, I don't know what you call her, honey or what, honey, thank you so much for what you have done and sacrificed for us. She will be very surprised because you never do that. Why all of a sudden like that? Then she may think initially, my hubby must be up to something. Otherwise, he won't be so courteous and nice to me. But if you express it sincerely via telling her the truth, actually, I have recently reflected and I really appreciate your great contribution and sacrifice for our family, for us all. You have helped us look after the household, the marketing, the cooking, the washing, etc. And we know these are not easy things to do. I hire a maid also not so reliable. I have to pay. I have to take the trouble to go to the maid agency to sort out all these out, contact maid agency, renew her contract, and pay her levy and agency fees, and all the other related things. Besides, there are so many problems related to maid, but you are my wife. I don't have to pay. And yet, you willingly do all these for us with true love and sacrifice. I really appreciate and thank you so much. I truly rejoice.
So can you say this to your wife? Huh? The wife, if you hear this, you really full of joy. And you work very hard. No pay also, never mind. People appreciate. But if your husband don't appreciate, small thing also react, come back. Why no food? Oh, you say cook already. But keep in the, what you call it, the cupboard or fridge. You take out. Then complain again. Why cold one? So all these are no longer with the noble eightfold path quality. You are not sensitive. You don't have this love in you. You don't appreciate what they have contributed to the household. So all this, not only to wife, the husband also say, you should appreciate what they do, they sacrifice all the things. But not all husbands are so straight on. Work very hard, earn the money. Sometimes they also do funny things. So all this is life. If you don't have the karmic entanglement, don't worry. But you have karmic entanglement, you have to confront. No choice. You reap what you sow. Your past life, you did this to people. Understand? So all these are very beautiful. I truly rejoice. Continuously. Very good.
When you do that, your wife will be very happy and she will work for you more. There is a lot.
True or not? Aiyo. Aiyo. Okay.
There is also a lot of joy when she does those work because she is being appreciated. But if you take for granted and ignore her contribution, do you know what your wife will think? This guy thinks I am a maid. Asam po in Hokkien. Every day, ask me to do all these things but never appreciate what I have done. So out of that anger and unhappiness, do you know what will happen? The cooking also no good. The washing also no good. Then when he comments, she will tell him off. You so good, you wash lah. You cook lah.
There is no more love. There is only hatred, envy, jealousy. And that mind that feel not appreciated. So all these are detrimental to relationship. Then go on. Then you will see all this.
Then she may say, I am going on strike. You take care of the children and household. You just argue. But when you appreciate what they have done, with the kind and appropriate right speeches, they feel so good and happy. Then everything they do for you, you say thank you so much. You don't just take things for granted and get angry. Most spouse, they are not sensitive to feel the others feel for their spouse. I know lah, don't repeat this thing and don't every time nag me. If you do this, then how to communicate? Where are the kind, gentle and understanding right speeches? The wife also unhappy. Whole day, especially housewife, sacrifice doing all this for you. And when you come back, not a word of appreciation. Some more receiving scolding from you. What type of husband is that? Their thought will think negatively. And when you also think this way, do you think your wife will be happy? And do you know why the husband is like that? Because he himself has enough problems in the office. That's why when he comes home, he's already not happy. He then acted out his frustration. But people without the Dhamma are like that. You cannot solve your problems because you don't have clarity of mind. You don't feel for your loved ones. You don't know how they go through life. But when you feel for them, you appreciate what they have done. Then you arise the right thought leading to the right speeches and right action. You tell your wife, honey, you have done well. I think tonight you deserve a good meal. Let's go for dinner. Where do you want to go? For the first time, you ask that. I can tell you she will be very happy. There is a lot of joy too, but it doesn't mean it's only for the wife. The wife can also do the opposite for the husband. You can tell him the opposite. I understand how much you have sacrificed for the family. You work so hard, sometimes at the expense of your own freedom, your own holiday. But you make sure that was what they do. Otherwise, it's not... Eh? Oh, but you make sure that was what they do. Otherwise, it's not sincere. You have to bring about what they call good relationship through understanding them and supporting them. That's why they always have this good saying, isn't it? For every man's success, there is a woman behind. Correct or not? But some... But sometimes the woman may not be the wife. But most of the time, it's the wife that is responsible. But the funny thing about men is, without wisdom, when they have too much money, that is the time the wife is worried. The strange thing is, when they don't have money, the wife is also worried. So what do they want? Maybe they want the husband to have just enough money, not too much. This is your fear, isn't it? That's why if you have the Dhamma, all these problems won't arise. Then the wealth will come, the blessing that you have developed through your cultivation, like your good karma, your good merits, will bring about a lot of goodness and well-being to you. If you have a lot of generosity, a lot of kindness, you will have the good karma. That's why when you think of generosity, it's a right thought. When you think of helping people, contributing back to society to help humanity in whatever way, through service, charity, or whatever, these are right thoughts. Then thoughts of sincerity, contentment, respect, gratitude, all these are all right thoughts, not necessarily only the four Brahma Vihara. Then learn to rejoice in the goodness, kindness, generosity, and wholesomeness of others, especially your loved ones, by saying, Sadhu to you, for you have done a lot of good things. Don't always complain, by saying, why simply donate? You think money is not money, is it? You think money is not money, ah. Your wife wants to do charity, you go and pour cold water. By doing so, you bring about conflict and unnecessary misunderstanding. But if it's her money, and she wants to do this because it is something wholesome, then you should rejoice. Even if she asks money from you because she is a housewife, she has got no income, you should consider, because this is goodness, this is meritorious, this is kindness. Why not if you can afford? you just support her. Then it becomes right thought, no more negativity. So the teaching is very beautiful. I don't have enough time to elaborate on the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path because it's a very wide topic. So right now, right view leading to the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the four right efforts are very important. If you can cultivate these first six Noble Eightfold Path factors, it's already very good, especially as a layperson. Then when you develop wisdom and the meditation via right mindfulness and samadhi, it will arise the spiritual understanding that you need to complement your materialistic life. This will then bring about the complete understanding of life. Without spiritual understanding, life is incomplete. You can still have suffering when you confront the noble truth without wisdom. So with this, I will conclude my today's talk, and I hope it benefits you all. Thank you so much for your patience and attentiveness in hearing me out. Brother Chim said, Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Thank you so much, Brother Teo, for your very interesting and enlightening talk this morning. I think it has touched on the lives of most of us. We, our families, our friends and relatives have also encountered countless life problems that have caused so much pain, lamentation, grief and despair and anxiety and worry and so on and so forth. And Brother Teo has explained to us how to overcome all these through understanding the secret of life, the Four Noble Truths. Any questions you would like to pose to Brother Teo? 2.5, question and answers. Question 1 from the floor. Firstly, thank you very much, Brother Teo, for sharing your knowledge. In fact, this is one of the best Dharma talks I have attended. My question is this. Buddha has definitely described a lot about suffering. Did he ever describe about depression during his time or any experience he had been dealing with it? Any experience he had been dealing with it or he had seen during his time? Thanks. Brother Teo answered, thank you so much for the question. It's a very good question. I have to be frank with you. I was not around when the Buddha was around. I cannot answer that question, but roughly, based on my nature's understanding and my cultivation, I can share this with you. During the Buddha's time, life was simpler. Society was not so evolved, so sophisticated. And during that time, renunciation is actually an honor to the family. Going forth by one of your family members becoming a monk is considered a very honorable thing. But nowadays, parents are different. They are so materialistic. Once they hear their son wanting to renounce, study for so many years to become a graduate professional and then wasted their life to become a monk. They cannot understand its importance. Then during the time of the Buddha, there were not so many sophisticated economic activities. Life was not so stressful, but simpler. So very likely, they have no chance for depression. Do you know why? It is Maslow's need theory or hierarchy, which is very simple. What are the first two basic needs the human beings look for? Food and shelter, isn't it? When there is not enough food on the table and shelter over the head, what is the first thing that you look for in life? You want to fulfill these two needs. That's why you work, work and work and look for these food and shelter, because they don't have such things as health issues, etc. The reason being they can't afford to fall sick. I remember when I was young, during the 60s, when I was very young, not to say during Buddha's time, during the 60s and the 50s when I was very young, even in the early 70s before I went to university, I saw in my village people getting sick. They don't really know what this sickness was because they have no idea of what cancer was, what TB was. They thought it was normal. If they could just go on with their life, they would go on. Even very sick until in the deathbed, they still refused to go to the hospital. They preferred to go and see the medium, the Chinese sensei. That was the tradition at that time. And most of the suffering at that time was very much less, not so complicated as our society now. However, for our society now, the stress and sensuality level are so high. That's why the internet has made a big difference to what society is nowadays. During the olden days, everything was very slow and you need to walk very far. So people were mainly towards agriculture skill sets, cultivating spiritual understanding and doing small retail businesses. I believe there may be some monks who had problems because as a monk, sometimes it's not easy. You feel very lonely at times. You meditate until you don't know what's going on. Can be very confused because the sankhara are like that when one is lacking in wisdom. Then there is also politics within the sangha community. You can read the sutta. Then you will know. They align themselves to different disciples of the Buddha. That's why you can see the Sikhism that Devadatta created. Remember Devadatta, the cousin brother of the Buddha? He wanted the Buddha to implement strict vegetarian into the monk's rules. He knew the Buddha won't agree because the Buddha has his reasons for it. So he tried to impress the other followers. See, the Buddha is not serious, he said. He didn't even want to implement vegetarian. To Devadatta, implementing vegetarian means he is more compassionate. But this is just outwardly. It's not at the heart level. It's outwardly telling people, I'm vegetarian, I implement this rule. So he managed to pull one group out of it. That's how Sikhism happened at that time, due to the difference of opinions. Then later on, they even had this issue before the Buddha passed away, his parinibbana. Some were aligned to Mahakasapa, some were aligned to Ananda and Sariputta. I think this type of politics, even in the office, you can witness a lot, aligning to whatever factions. There are a lot of rather weird human behavior, a common phenomenon of humanity, because when there is still delusion, the attachment, the clinging, the craving will be there. So this question about, did the Buddha talk about depression during his time? I really can't answer you because I didn't see it mentioned anywhere in the sutra. But based on what I understand, there are less cases at that time. Even if have, it's more towards the community of monks rather than the lay people. The lay people, their lives were simpler. But for those who renounce and become monks, they were more philosophical. They thought deep into life. So when you think too much, psychological and mental problems can arise because wisdom is not to be found at the thought level. So this is how I understand and see it. I just share what I understand and I have to be very frank. Whatever I don't know, I tell you I don't know. Because during the Buddha's time, I was not around and I don't read so much of the sutta. So this is how I will understand it, okay? Thank you and I hope I have answered your question. Thank you and sadhu. Any more questions? Question 2 from Brother Chim. Just one question for Brother Teo. My daughter, first year psychology and business student. She's doing her internship now at the psychology center in Kuala Lumpur. Yesterday, she came back and she shared with me that a couple came to the center and looked for the psychologist, her boss, posing a very funny question by the wife. The wife said she was very depressed because she just cannot stand her husband staring at other ladies. So I just laughed off what she said because over such a small thing also can become depressed. But now, after listening to your talk this morning, it can be quite real. What is the remedy you would like to prescribe? I didn't ask my daughter what the psychiatrist advised. I would like your advice so that I can go back and tell my daughter. Brother Teo answered. Thank you so much for the very good question. Sometimes you shouldn't think it's a simple or trivial question because for them, to take the step of going to the psychiatric department to see a psychiatrist is already telling you what. It means their case is serious, right? Otherwise, they won't go there. Don't you think they will feel shameful if people come to know? Hey, I have to see a psychiatrist, meaning I have mental problems. The mental problem that is being posted by the wife appeared so simple. I can't stand my husband staring at girls. Luckily, she didn't say beautiful girls. What is the first thought that come to your mind? Maybe like Brother Chim said, it's very true. For most of us who don't have this problem, we may say, "Ayo, she's too possessive and too sensitive. Why must she worry about your husband? Why must she worry about her husband looking at girls? As long as he don't intend to take them back, then it should be fine, right?" I have this joke. One Westerner, he's a planner, a very successful guy. He married a Thai lady, stayed in one of the condos in KL during the 80s. He was our client's planner. I am the CNS engineering consultant, so we all became close friends. One day, he told us this joke. Since he came from Europe, so we thought he was a bachelor while in KL. But he said, no, I am married. My wife is staying in a condo in KL, and she's Thai. Then we said, it means you have to go back early? He replied, oh, no need to worry about that. Then we asked, why? He told us this story. My wife is very good. She told me she understands you very well. Your job and career. She told me, I understand you very well. Your job and career demands you to entertain and have late nights with clients. You can go and eat whatever you like to eat, but please don't tapao back. That is the only.
So now you understand, huh? These are wise wife, huh? Okay. That's the only rule she insists on. I take over for a while. When he said that, almost everybody was very envious of him. Wow, a very lucky man, having such a good and understanding wife indeed. But the truth is, the wife understands the reality, understand? You get jealous for what? That's why such problem of jealousy need to be fixed through understanding. What I normally advise people is, the Dhamma understanding is very important. It is actually non-self, but they cannot see. That's why when you approach a situation or a problem, you must always look at it with sincerity and with understanding. Understanding means without selfishness involved. That's why it's non-self. When you are not selfish, you don't have the egoic mind, because you are sincere and you have love. Then you will know how to resolve issue and problem amicably with love, so that you don't hurt anybody, so that it benefits everybody. How can we approach life this way? When we apply Noble Eightfold Path, then all problems can be resolved. Noble Eightfold Path means right view leading to right thought. Have right view to accept your husband for what he is, his life, let him live. But it doesn't mean you don't care and you let him do what he wants. Acceptance means you don't react via wrong view or emotional negativity or envy and jealousy. Then we reflect and contemplate via asking, what are my options and how can I resolve this amicably? Then we act. Then we can act appropriately. When we have right view to accept, not to react, it means you have no anger, which is an evil root. When you don't react anymore, your fear, your anxiety will be no more. Then your thought will not be compulsive, obsessive, and intrusive. Because of your fear, it triggers off those wrong thoughts. The fear of your husband having an affair or marrying someone, or he may leave you, and you cannot survive on your own. That fear is very valid and a very strong emotion for ladies, especially true for those who are married and don't have the confidence in themselves. And this fear is a thought projection, which is not a reality. Nothing has happened yet. Even it should happen, so what? You have to understand that this is a law of karma. There is a law of karma to take care of all this. You have to have your own right view with regards to the law of karma. The Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So whatever happened, the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. Even if you should be afflicted and your husband make you miserable, it's because of what? Karma, right? In the past, you could have been the man who did this to another girl, make her miserable. When you do that, you never question yourself then, right? But when your husband did that to you, you become so angry, so jealous, and full of hatred and misery. And you complain, we are saying, how can he do that to me? These are real people who are afflicted with depression. And they talk to me, we are saying, how can this BAS do this to me? Last time, it's honey, darling, etc. But now, BASD, ARD. One of them said, I sacrificed so many years of my life, my youth, my puberty, getting married to this guy, gave birth to two beautiful kids for him, and he did that to me. You see? The anger, the hatred, the unhappiness, the evil roots arising. They are root of all evil. That's how you suffer and become miserable. So I ask you one very simple question. Your life, if you continue to do this, to do things this way, and react like that, what will happen to you? Are you happy? You will be afflicted and become very miserable and unhappy, isn't it? You cannot eat and you cannot sleep because of this depressive and suicidal thought. Until you got to see psychiatrists. Your husband also not happy. Your children and parents and in-law are also affected. But you don't have the Noble Eightfold Path understanding to resolve all this amicably with wisdom. You don't know how to bring about good relationship. The husband will drift away further and further. Cause they will compare. The one outside is so nice, much younger and prettier, so friendly and so understanding. This one come home only nag, anger. And this is what is happening to most family. This hatred, jealousy and anger are evil roots that make them very angry, very jealous, thereby conditioning their wrong speech and wrong action. Sometimes they even go to their husband's office to create a scene. If you do that, chances are it is the end of your relationship. Why do you want to do all this? Why can't you resolve it amicably? I've helped many really depressed people who have such problem, relationship problem. Finally, not only the husband came back to them, they also managed to gain back their good life. I always say, when you have the Noble Eightfold Path, you will become so beautiful and so virtuous. Finally, who do you think is the one who will lose out? Your husband is the one who loses out because he doesn't know how to choose. Such a beautiful means inwardly beautiful, virtuous, and understanding wife. Like I said just now, no need to pay her like having to hire a maid. Yet she do everything for you. You don't know the benefit of having a good and virtuous wife. When you have a good, virtuous and understanding wife who is happy, I can tell you, your life will be really blessed, beautiful. You are blessed. Where to find such a good and understanding wife? No need to hire a maid. Yet do everything for you with so much joy and happiness. You only need to say a few nice words and take her out for dinner and holiday once a while. And be faithful, of course. Be faithful, of course. So life is very simple, isn't it? So whatever happened, Always remember, don't react, don't condemn, be at peace with the situation. Means acceptance. Eh? Then with a mind that is peaceful or at peace to accept what happened or what is, there is clarity, isn't it? Because you are not angry, you are not emotional, there is no fear, and you are not agitated. There is no more restlessness of mind in your mind. With that clarity, you can sit down and contemplate. What are my options? What can I do? What went wrong? How can I resolve all this amicably via Noble Eightfold Path so that I can move on with my life? When you reflect and contemplate, then you realize maybe I didn't give enough. I give him enough attention. I have taken things for granted. When he come home, I just let go of my emotion and unhappy feeling and thought. That's how my husband find me no more interesting. Not like the early days when you are dating and courting. He will tell you, take your time, don't worry, I can wait. But the moment they are married, the husband start to show their true color. We are saying, why take so long? What are you doing? No more patience. But this is the reality, like Alexander Pope, the famous verse. Do you know what he said? His famous verse is, reality begins after the first day of marriage. Before marriage, it's all pretend. A lot of actors and actresses. The actual character are hidden, concealed, with all the sweet talk. Honey, I love you. Honey, how are you? Where do you want to go for dinner or honeymoon? But when you start to move into life after marriage, you don't understand what true relationship is and what it means to commit yourself to a relationship, then your relationship will suffer. A commitment that can bring about happiness and joy to the marriage relationship demands a lot of sincerity and understanding. When you are sincere to commit to this relationship, you look forward to a good life, a good relationship, which means you start to trust each other. Sincerity will bring about trust. When you trust, you don't get jealous, you don't query. Then if both of you keep to that sincerity and trust, marriage is beautiful. Then give and take. Love each other sincerely, truly. Then be appreciative of each other's contribution. Don't talk about negative things. With Noble Eightfold Path, everything will be beautiful. Don't go and project your thought leading to fear. Don't go and do all those stupid things that will arise evil root. That's why my advice to you is, whenever you are not happy and peaceful, the evil roots are there. The mental hindrance of mind are there. You are no longer peaceful. You are no longer happy. You no longer have the clarity of mind. Meaning you don't have Noble Eightfold Path. Then you cannot resolve your life problem. So Noble Eightfold Path is a very powerful meditation. You can truly cultivate this. It will be a blessing to you. It will bring about countless benefit and limitless merit. Cultivating Noble Eightfold Path means cultivate following the advice of the Buddha. What are the advice of the Buddha? Avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. Isn't it? The embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path has no evil and no delusion. From right view leading to right thought, speech, action, and right livelihood. So no evil because everything is right. It is all about cultivating wholesomeness and goodness. Right speech, right thought, right action, and right livelihood are also very meritorious. That's how you can avoid all evil. The right mindfulness leads to heedfulness and meditative wisdom to purify the mind. Then right mindfulness leading to heedfulness and the meditative wisdom is purification of mind. That's why Noble Eightfold Path are the advice of all Buddha. and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it doesn't bring you back to Noble Eightfold Path cultivation, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. There are other types of meditation. So do not make the mistake of being gullible. That is, if you go to retreat, you meditate, and you have fantastic meditation, thinking is equivalent to good progress, wisdom and enlightenment. Then you need to check. If you still don't have the Noble Eightfold Path quality in you, you are nowhere near what the Buddha is saying. You can interpret the fantastic meditation experience as, "Wow, I had an insight into the characteristics of nature, anicchang dukkhang anatta. I have what insight, what jnana." You can go and find out for yourself. After that, when you come out to live life, do you have the Noble Eightfold Path factors or quality? If you don't have, it means you still don't understand life. You still can have suffering. That's why a lot of these yogi, after many years attending my class, told me, "Yeah, Bhatia, you are right. I was peaceful at retreat, very happy, very calm. Then when I come out of the retreat, I can maintain it for some time, sometimes 1 week, sometimes 2 weeks, and maximum 3 weeks. After that, I realize I have not really changed because the same old character or habitual tendency are still there. I still get angry. I still have fear. I still have problem that can make me unhappy and miserable. I still have relationship problem and conflict in life." I say, "Do you know why? You don't have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. You don't have right speech, right action, right thought, right livelihood. You don't have the right view with regards to nature's law that governs life and existence. Especially the law of karma. If you want to improve your life, you have to change. We are taking care of your karma to avoid all evil and do good. To avoid all evil, you have to keep your precept. Because those breaking precept are evil people with evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So you can explain this to your daughter. This is how you can take care of the problem. See that it's just a thought, projected fear. It's not a reality. Your life, why do you want to allow it to be this way? I always say, you have two choices when you are confronted with the realities of life and existence. Like health problem, death of a loved one, financial problem, or whatever. One choice is react and become miserable. Means bosong, manasana. Project your fear, worry, anxiety. Second choice is to have the right view to accept the reality of what happened. Don't react, be at peace. Hence, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. Then with that clarity of mind, ask yourself, what are your options? And how can you resolve this so-called problem or issue amicably so that everybody is happy? Later on, if I have the time, I will tell you one incident which I have helped resolve so beautifully. That lady was in depression over daughter's adoption and custodian problem. It was like she was the maternity mother. And maybe I just finish off with it. She is the maternity mother. When she gave birth to that third child, she was so stressed out because she had no maid to help her. She told her husband she needed a maid. The husband said, "We are trying to find one, but not easy." Instead, they have a neighbor friend who is very wealthy with no children. Then they said, "Why not you let us take care of your new daughter?" The husband was very keen, told the wife. And the wife was also very happy. Pass her over. We can come back to them so that on weekday, she can go to work. And she told me the first few years she had, the arrangement was so happy, so beautiful. Then later on, what happened was the wife came to know after a few years of affection The rich couple loved her daughter so much, wanted to adopt her legally. So the husband wanted the wife to give up her right to her daughter and allow the couple to adopt her. From that moment onward, the wife panicked and reacted. Then the husband got angry. The mother-in-law also got angry because to them, why do you do that? This couple are without children and they really love your child. Besides, they have a lot of money as well. Their daughter will get to inherit all this. So to the husband and the mother-in-law, it's a good thing. But to the mother, my child, how can you just force me to give it away? So she became so depressed and her relationship became so strained until it was suicidal. Then one of her friends was a cultivator, come meditator under my guidance for many years. Actually, one of my quite outstanding Kayamita. She told her, you better go and see Brother Teo. Then when she came to me, I just explained to her her condition and told her, it's very simple. You don't have to react and become so miserable or be afflicted. Don't do this. By doing so, by doing this, are you happy? Your daughter is caught in between. Your husband also not happy. Your mother-in-law also not happy. The couple also unhappy. So nothing get resolved because there is this evil root of anger, fear, attachment, and real phobia. So I told her, why not you just accept this reality? Why not you just accept this reality? I don't say you agree with them or say you are right. You accept this reality or fact of life first, then you sit back to reflect and contemplate. What are your options? How best can you resolve this problem amicably? So you should think. Okay, then I continue. So, you should think of your daughter, isn't it? What is best for her? That's what I mean by non-egoic. By a non-egoic, selfless thought. Not about you anymore. If you are so egoic, then your thought will deceive you. We are saying, this to you, to yourself. I'm the mother. How can they do that to me? The wrong thought is going to make you miserable. You are attached to this word, mother. And then you want things your way, which is not nature's way. They are what they are. You have to accept them for what they are. And the reality is like that. So how can you resolve it amicably? When I explain all this to her, she become happy again. Did you know what I told her? I said, you think of what is best for your daughter, her future, etc. And how you can resolve this amicably so that everybody is happy. You can talk to your husband. Now I understand. I don't want to get angry anymore. I respect you for what you are. I understand your sincere intent. And we want to give what is best for our daughter. Okay, we sit down and plan all this so that we can resolve this amicably. It means you only need to ensure that you are still the maternity mother after you have consented to give the couple a legal adoption. But you should ask for your right to see your daughter and the right for your daughter to see you. That as long as your daughter decides to stay with them, and this is what she wants and what she really loves, then you have to tell yourself, your life you decide. But if it's your daughter's life, you better let her decide. She may make a mistake and later on decide to come back to you. So you can put in the agreement this clause. At any time if she decides to come back to you, she has every right to sever that legal document and come back to you. You leave the right to your daughter. Then you will be very happy because she has been assured a very good future. The couple promised her good education, a good life, and a good future, etc. So I said to her, if you resolve this amicably, following the Noble Eightfold Path, you will be a happy mother. Your husband will love you more because you don't react and create a scene anymore. Your mother-in-law will also say, my daughter-in-law, not bad. Now she understands. Then you are still the maternity mother. You can still see her anytime. Then you wish for her well-being, her future, and everything else. You can talk to your daughter. As a mom, I have a duty to take care of you. But now the situation is that, are you happy if they were to adopt you? You should talk to her, although she is still young. But at least she understands her mother loves her and protects her. We are resolving all this with wisdom and understanding, so that there is no anger, no hatred, and no misunderstanding. Then when she listened to all this, she was very happy. She will be very happy and love you more because you really care for her. It can be resolved just through understanding. No need to get angry. No need to be fearful. Fear, anger, emotions are negative mind state or emotion that will make you miserable. They are evil roots. Root of all evil can make you evil. You must have noble evil power. Right view to accept the reality. Then your right thought, right speech, right action. To talk to people nicely, to resolve issues amicably, so that everybody is happy. Okay? I better end, otherwise too late. Eh? Okay, shall we end? Then after that, Brother Jim say, thank you, Brother Teo. I think many of us would like to listen to more. But anyway, it's already 11:45. And then I had better stop here. Today, we come here to pay respect to Buddha and to listen to the Dhamma and to gain some good merits as well. I would like to invite Brother Teo to lead us in the making of aspiration, sharing our merits with all sentient beings. Then closing puja, that one I think quite straightforward. We will do the closing puja. We shall invoke the sharing of merits with devas, with all the beings, and transfer merits to departed one and invoke blessing for the nation and make your aspiration like what Brother Jim said. It has been a very wholesome 1 hour 45 minutes of sharing. We have listened to the Dhamma, straighten your view and pay respect to the Buddha. You have kept and renewed your 5 precepts. Then you have strengthened your faith and rejoice. All these are very meritorious. And some of you have provided offerings and good service to SJBA. So with this, we will invoke power of merits and share them with all beings. Then the usual chanting. Then after that, I think Brother Chim lead them to pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujayami, Namang pujayami, Sanghang pujayami. So this is how we apply the teaching, Noble Eightfold Path, to resolve everything amicably. And the first right view is always to have the right view to accept the reality of the moment. Because the law of karma, the law of mind, and the law of truth, the 3 spiritual law, they govern life existence. When causes and conditions are set, things will be like that. So no matter whether you like or you don't like, you have to come to terms with that reality. See that clearly. Like I said, you have 2 choices. You know what are the 2 choices? Just now I mentioned. What is the first choice? React and become miserable over there. Means? Bosong first. Understand? Then project your thought. Become fearful, become unhappy. That is one of your choice. And most people do that first, understand? Then the second choice is what? To accept via right view, the reality, Like I say, law of karma. Why you end up like that? The victim. Means the law of karma, like the Buddha say, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned, supported by your karma. You are what you are because of karma. Very likely, there is a lot of karmic implication or karmic conditioning behind. So if you have done this to people in the past, you reap what you sow. Now you become the victim as well. So accept. Accept you are at peace. No more jealousy, no more anger, no more hatred. Then you have clarity of mind. Your mind is not agitated. No fear, no worry, no anxiety, no emotion, nothing. Then there is clarity of mind. Then look at the problem. What actually happened? Then inquire, how can I resolve all this amicably? We are following the Noble Eightfold Path, following the Dhamma way as taught by the Buddha, so that I can resolve all this amicably, so that no karmic negativity to anybody involved. And this is how you act, Anasana. That is how you resolve issue. Even health problem also same, financial problem also same. So if you know the teaching, you can resolve it. Sometimes it may appear like very traumatic, but nothing is as traumatic as having this right understanding or right view to solve all your problems. So if you act with understanding, with virtue, following Noble Eightfold Path, everything can be resolved. After all, we all already know that not so real. Huh? You know why not so real or not? Mind make ade and asana. And the highest within life is the present moment. And how stable is the present moment? So transient. Split second is day and gone. And that's the only reality, you know. If that's the only reality, then how real can life be? Not what you think. Then if you have the understanding, hey, no you, hey, no me, then why do you get miserable over small, small things? Over what happened from the past that conditioned the present. So with wisdom, you see all this clearly, then you can actually act. Act with wisdom following Noble Eightfold Path, which is the Dhamma way. Then you don't have any more problem or issue with life. Then life can take a turn, become meaningful, wonderful. Then suffering need not be. And that is how you resolve it. In actual fact, the lady that came to me through my Kayamita, she at first didn't want to listen to what I advise, because she is not listening, the fear and all those things. So later on, I was told by the Kayamita, she actually went for court case. Went for court case with her husband to contest. And you know, she is only a real estate agent, sometimes no commission, nothing. So he fought the court case, and he lost. She lost. Lost badly. Got to pay the legal fee, everything, and financial problem. Then after he lost, not enough, he don't have enough cash flow to prove that he can become the custodian of her daughter. And because of that, he lost the custodianship also. So he became so miserable. Then was crying, suicidal thought. He drive to Klang, almost jump inside. Klang River, true. But after that, when she recovered, she came and thanked me that every year, gathering of Kalimita, she come. Until she, the daughter, I think more than 10 over years old, she still bring her. And very different lady after that. So what happened was, when all this was going on, suicidal thought, when he was about to jump in, he said he parked the car near the riverbank, he walked up to the slope, and the thought, the suicidal thought, almost conditioned her to jump in. Suddenly, you know, there is a thought that flashed out. Hey, what about your mother? Oh, that one pull her back. But that one is not really yonisomanasikara. That's not, because that one, she loved her mother so much, you know, so she felt a piety. So that goodness helped her. You know. Then she like suddenly wake up. You know, what am I doing here? Suddenly a cold fear. You know, how come I'm here? How can I can do such thing? Because the suicidal thought is very strong. Depressed people. Without the fear, the intense fear. Means helpless already, lost the court case, lost the custodian. Then he calmed herself down, come down to the car, sat inside there, waited, then decide to drive to that Kayamita, the good friend. That Kayamita say, Leia, 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 Mtengwa, I say in Cantonese. Yeah. Tomorrow morning I bring you to Brother Teo again. So he come and told me all this. Then I said, I already advised you, resolve it amicably. You know what she told me after I explained again? That time I'm not listening, is it? I don't know, I don't want to listen, is it? I just want to, like, unhappy, you know, want to fight the case. He thinks she can win, no? But she lost badly. Then after that, the story continued, you know, very nice. She followed my advice, you know, and resolve it amicably, you know. Then the husband agreed to all her terms and conditions. No. Then the court case all withdraw. No more problem. Then she get to stay in the house again. But the family, the husband said, very wealthy one. Actually, quite well off. La. Then she like at peace again. No. Then all this done up. No. Then she came and approached me and said, thank you so much. Then a few years later, I think 2 or 3 years later, that family, the mother-in-law, got 3 sons. No? Yeah. I think she is the second one or third one, I forgot already. Then later on, the first son also get into this, I don't know what you call that, outside got affair. Then the first daughter-in-law, become like worse than what she was at that time when she fought the court case. So. Then you know what she told me? You know? Oh, brother, that reminds me of what I am when I was fighting the court case. He said, luckily, with your understanding, otherwise I end up like her. You know, so miserable. You know? Oh, so full of anger, hatred, and all those things. You know? Then don't know what to do. See, when she recovered, she saw. He said, luckily, otherwise I would end up like her. I become worse, is it? So all these are the understanding you can actually develop. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, at least we finish this. So tomorrow we have a lot of time. Yeah. So now we make use of this another 45 minutes. You got anything that you want me to explain or report your meditation, you can, or share whatever. Anybody? Yes, Joy. Yeah.
Brother Teo and all Kalamitas. Brother Teo, today I would like to share my two meditation experiences.
Good.
One is lying down and the other one is sitting. On the third day, while I was doing the lying down meditation, in this retreat, I noticed that I have better stability of awareness.
Sadhu. Very good.
So when I was doing the meditation, I could see the arising of the thought and the cessation of thought.
Yeah, very good. Wow, sadhu.
And I was not attached to it, I just observed it.
Yeah, be the silent observer. Yes, understand? Yes. That's why don't go and look for things. Don't go and confuse things or create things. Just aware.
Yeah, then
let the awareness develop the understanding. But through those movements, how the thought arises and how it passes away, that is a very good improvement. But your sati can see that thought arising and passing away. You know. Then later on when you come out of here, you can contemplate, you know, like I say, my daughter also used that. Why that thought? Understand? No? Then you can trace This is what you have accumulated and attached and cling on to. Otherwise, that thought will not come out. It's like your unfinished activity or business, understand? Something that you hold on to, you haven't resolved. Yeah. That's why when you resolve it, it doesn't haunt you anymore. Understand?
True, very true. Yeah. Then after that, at my abdomen area, I sense some movement.
Yeah, very good.
But I don't know what type of movement is it.
No need to know. I really say, don't try to know, don't try to do. Okay. The awareness, pick it up, stay there, understand? Then let it move. Because all this is what you are, understand? At that moment, when your condition is like that, your understanding is...
Sorry.
Sit towards there. Yeah, you face this one. Once you point that one down, it will trigger off the distortion or echo. You sit there, no problem. So all this is how you develop the understanding of it. Because when you try to be curious, I don't know what this movement is, and you want to know the movement, then you want to know what must I do, then you did already, understand? That's why let the awareness develop the understanding. But this one will tell you whatever happened, how you become fearful, how you become excited, or how you, like, the thought starts to hold on to it and give meaning and ask a lot of questions. This is the way of the mundane mind, the thinking mind. Understand? So what you should do is relax, maintain awareness. Then if that part start to move, it's a good sign. Understand? Where you are more sensitive already. Then you stay there, see what happens. Sometimes it could be healing you. Understand? Because this awareness got healing power. It will go to that place that you need to heal. Last time I told you my back I got sleep disorder when I was young. Yeah. In fact, 35, age 35. Then off and on come about 2 times or 3 times. Then what happened was, when I meditate, after 1989, when I was 35 years old, I suddenly relax, maintain awareness. Then my chi go there, the pure awareness, move there, Then there is like a pure energy, trying to clear something. Then I know it's healing me. But my karma very good. I told you I went to Singapore. That person who introduced me to my last guy, he said, do, come, he said. I said, why? He said, there is from China come over. He is a very, I don't know whether to call him psychic or occult. He got special power. Tak yi gong lang, English you call it. Supernormal power. So we all, that time, they all very excited. So I also follow. Then he say, he stay in the condo, he say, not too big group. So I think we all, 6 of us. So he went there, he make the contact, then he go and ting tong. Then the owner come out. He asked for that person from China. He at first don't want to meet us. He said, who are you all? Then later on, I think he has sensed my energy. I don't know. Then later on, we introduce ourselves. Say we actually very keen to meet him, to want to learn from him. Where we heard he got special ability. So what happened was, he opened the door. Then he invited us in. Then he was looking at me. He was looking at me. I think he can detect my energy also. Then after that, we went in. So we talked. Then we were told, this type of people like him in China a lot, is it? The government actually they have a way of tapping all this talent. And it seems like he got one very special power. His chi very strong. Then he said, in China, a lot of these supernormal people, some can read mind, and like the Buddha style, can manifest everywhere. He said, at the moment in China, The most famous one is this guy, 24 years old. He, like the Buddha said, one can split into many. And you know how they do the test? They put the wire all on his brain. Then they tell him, they got people stationed all over the country. Then simultaneously he manifests. He appears at all those places. Then he can know what is happening there and all those things. Then if he wants to come back, zoom, come back again. Like the Ape, remember? Go to the Montreal Olympic, all go already. Then after that they come back and he asks, what do you see? What do you see? All of them saw the stadium, described and all things. So you don't think it is fairy tale. So what happened was after that, we all also rejoice. Then we ask him, what is your specialty? He said, he is very good at having the chi. Then he looked at me. Then he said, do you need me to help you? So I look at him. I said, not really, but I have this backache. I said, I got sleep this before. You know what he told me? Come, come, sit. Again sit, but on a stool this time, on the chair. His hand was 2 feet from my body. He started to move. I can sense his chi coming into my back here. Then within minutes, pop, gone. That's why after that, I got no more problem with sleep this. So I no need to use my pure energy to do all this. That's all. So sometimes it will heal you. You don't know. That's why let it move. But this one is intelligent. It's pure energy. Understand? Okay?
Then yesterday afternoon while doing the sitting meditation, my this inner awareness further strengthened. And it leads me to peacefulness, stillness,
sadhu, very
tranquility,
good.
And I was so blissful.
Sadhu.
And I could feel my heart begin to beat, the beating of
my heart. Yeah. The pulsation.
The pulsation.
Then relax into it. Very good.
I just relax into it, then it come again, then it go off again.
Oh, very good, very good. You improve a lot from the
last
retreat.
Thank you.
Yeah, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Very good. That's why I already told the Kayamita early on. This retreat, I say, a lot of you all will progress. Yip, come. Yip also got something. Very good. The girl went back to the mother. Yeah, that was the latest update. Yeah, Sui An got contact her, that Kayamita. Yeah, the daughter went back to the mother. She very happy.
Just want to share my meditation experience.
Very good.
Just now, when when you're talking, then I feel that I want to do the meditation.
Oh,
why? Because when I sit, I can feel that my body is moving.
Yeah.
Then I know that this one's. Why not? I go for the formal sitting for that. Yeah. Then when I see, then everything is like when you move, then you feel moving.
Yeah.
Even though it's a slight movement.
I know. But magnified. Like magnified. Sadhu means you have sati.
It's like inside a room and all this.
Yeah.
Then I can hear your talking.
The external vibration, talk or whatever you can hear. Sometimes if you do lying down also you can. It's like you sleep.
Lying down I cannot.
You lie down. Then you went and sit. Very good.
Just like you can hear from all sides.
Yeah.
There's no thought inside.
Correct. No thought. Just the awareness listening.
Yes.
Sadhu. Very good. Really good. This first time is a gym. First retreat. Sadhu. See? New people can do it. The Bodhisattva. Junti. Yeah, they will manifest the understanding and the energy to help you. But their nature has their wisdom energy. That's why otherwise you cannot be so fast on. You know, all those areas where the cultivator or the way are, even my house, you can go and ask a lot of Kamita. They come to my house, they can meditate, right? Very easy. And it's like my second last teacher always say, like magic hall, you know, magic hall can create a lot of magic. But actually, nothing to do with magic. It's not psychic. It's the way my nature actually, because my nature don't discriminate. It's just give and give. But how much can you receive depends on your affinity. So for you, with the affinity with Chun Ti, Pusa, Bodhisattva, that one immediately actually help you activate. Otherwise, you cannot be so fast on. Lie down, just one lying down, then decide to form a sitting, then the energy, everything transform and hit your awareness nature. Then that's why you went into that state. And there is clarity, clarity. Everything you listen without thought on. Inside empty on.
There's no thought and all this.
Yeah.
Flowing.
Yeah, it's just flowing. That's awareness receiving. I don't know. And this is not a joke. No. He's new. No. And he shared. You think this type of teaching, meditation, you can find anywhere? No? You cannot. Understand? No? But if you have faith and affinity, you do, it will come. Understand? No? And when it comes, I already share with you all. Fairy tale also not so cheeky, understand? This is more fantastic than fairy tale, understand? Yeah, really, it happened. When it happened, he himself will know. That's why he pachetang, understand? Everything becomes so clear. He wants to know, he can know. But no thought on. Everything going on. That's why last time I told you, I was lying down. They thought I sleep. No. Next morning, every word they say, I know. Then I ask them back, they pine say. Then they know, hey, a tear will kun. So he later on will have the ability. Well, when this mindfulness stabilizes, you continue to do this, awareness based meditation, you go back, you can actually slowly try. Your awareness, you can take it into your sleep. Yeah. Your body rests. But you're fully aware all the way until you wake up. Then like you never sleep, you know. That consciousness is like during the daytime, you know. That thought come out and you come out from that lying posture, then you become conscious again. You're no longer in that awareness. You become the conscious state. But it's like you never sleep. But that thought continue. And so, that's why you never sleep. You aware. Then it come out as a conscious thought. Very different, very amazing. Then like I can do 24-hour awareness meditation. I no need to like sit and all those things. Then I just relax, maintain awareness. Then awareness continue until I wake up. That's why I did 24 hours. At that time, I did for a few months. No? I can do that. No? Yeah. But after that, I understand already. No need already. No? Because later on, my Monday might collapse, and I don't have to do all those things anymore. So this is what will happen. Very good. Sadhu to you. Huh? You can ask Yip. I don't know him. Even he come here, I still have to ask, may I know your name? Yeah, you think we all pakat, before come, like the direct selling one, call somebody out. Thank you. Pleasure. Sadhu, who else?
Birdie Mr. Steel or Garbita. Tama Chai Chu Fang, make a tattoo or to share.
Yeah, that's why I almost forgot. Yeah, very good.
Before 我再讲这一次的这个 retreat 的 experience，我要讲一个很多年前，在三宝寺的这个 experience。那一年 before MCO 有一年的那个 retreat，我们遇到了这个观音丹跟这个普贤丹。
啊，对，观音丹跟普贤丹呀。
OK，so 那个观音丹的那一天，早上。As usual, 我下去join 那个morning chanting. So, 因为是观音，所以我们没有绕佛。And then, 就在它是拜忏，在我们的位置站住、
yeah.
一个佛号一个跪，一个佛号一个跪。
嗯。
所以我在跪下去的时候，
嗯，
第二次我跪下去的时候，我的头一抬起来，
嗯，
我就看到那个三个维如加那佛前面有三个
yeah,
那个
yeah, 那个
不是啊。萨迦牟尼
呀，萨迦牟尼
那个大理石的、yeah,
要是佛的是、啊，
我一看到时候，我的里面就move 一下哈、
啊，
这个号这里就 move 一下、
啊、
哇，就哭了哈、
哦，
就一直跪，一直哭，一直跪，
yeah,
一直哭，
yeah, yeah,
连他的那个他像自己会，你懂吗？他就说这个萨迦牟尼他什么都没有做。Yeah.他如如不动的在那一边，
对，
好，把这个 form and mind out of ignorance, out of sakaya titi 跑出去 share,
哇，
去 lead 人家，
yeah, yeah.
去 mislead 人家，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
哇，就哇一直在那边跪，一直哭啊，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
好，就一直哭，一直跪着，哇，就然后就是觉得feel sorry, 好，就、
yeah, yeah, yeah.
so, because of the ignorance.跑去
yeah, yeah,
yeah. mislead 人家
yeah, yeah, yeah.
对，一直跪一直哭一直哭，然后就想到哇 how blessed 啊，我现在还是有一个 form、
yeah.
还是、啊、在这个 Buddha Sasana、
嗯
还是一个人，
对，
可以听闻佛法，然后最珍贵的就是我还能够修这个佛法
yeah, 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 yeah.、
哦、到那 他自己也像一直在那边就、哦、这样子的一直、reflex、啊
嗯、
就这样子的 play、
嗯 yeah.
然后就想到哇，那一些跑来以前我 misled 的这一些人全部现在就已经在六道里面去轮回了哇 lucky yeah, 哇
yeah,
哭到、
yeah.
哦、一次很 deep 的那个 sorry to them
对对对对，
我、哦、就想到哇，每个人、哦、跑来问你，等你 misled 他们，现在每个人 based on 他的 karma 就在六道里面去轮回哇，真的是一直跪，一直哭，一直跪，一直哭。
杀掉，杀掉。
连杀的力哦，就那个 expression 就出来了。
Yeah, the understanding will manifest.、
他就讲说啊，当我有 understanding 的时候，你们全部再回来。
对。
我重新再带你们。
对对。对
哦、我重新再 guide 你们。
Yeah.
哇，他很疯的这样子的出来。好、
嗯
哦，就在就讲了这个 statement， 然后过后完了。
嗯，
然后我就在大雄宝殿的旁边，我就在走，我就在想，然后来那个 talk 就讲，哎，怎样做哦？好、哦，然后哇，里面马上就讲说找普贤菩萨，
yeah, 找普贤菩萨。
OK， 然后 after that 哦，那个 talk 讲，哎呦 ，very drama 哦，早上五点半，哇，很像 drama 这样子在大雄宝殿，然后他就讲哇 ，drama 以后就这整个 incident 就灭掉了，
呀，灭掉，嗯，
然后。这么样多年我也没有去想到，等我也没有 report
yeah,
about it, yeah, 因为它完全就灭掉了。
我知道、
Until 今年的一月、它又再现出来。
哦是啊。
然后我想想想 ,at least 有七年这个 experience,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
它又这样现出来、
yeah.
我讲诶怎么呢、哦、它一出来的时候我在、reflect, 我在 recall, 我讲这不是 drama,
yeah, 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 yeah.
这个是一个很 deep 的 repentance,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
还有那个aspiration.
嗯嗯。
So, 过后我在前几天 after 这个 Bodhisattva Walk 的时候，我突然想到，当你在 make aspiration 的时候，when the time ripen 的时候，
对对对
，manifest 出来
yeah, yeah, yeah.
去 remind 你，
对，
好。然后过后我又再去 contemplate， 当我在做那个 aspiration 的时候。他是 full of love and compassion
yeah, yeah, yeah.
of 这一些 misled 的人。
对对对。
哇，他就是说，你们全部回来吧，
yeah,
哦
yeah.
我再带你们哦。
杀掉，杀掉，杀掉。
不，不是，我到现在我都觉得，到底是谁，知道吗？那
你看啊 ，when you were doing the chanting and the bowing, actually that one trigger of the affinity. That's why when you look up, yeah.Suddenly something went in and trigger of this, which means it's not a thought, it's from your nature, understand not? And the nature when it arises, because he asked me in the early years, you remember, is it? He joined me 6 years already, you know. He cannot understand. Then later he connect. Yeah. Then after that, he, with the understanding and the joy, he came and talked to me. He said, Brother Teo, wait some more, because before he met me, for 15 years, he was helping actually become committee member also, the type of meditation that he learned from one of the tradition in Burma. Then he said, what happened? He said, if I have to become committee member and I'm misleading all these people. And he said, for 15 years, he entangled with that. He wants to know why. I said, there is nothing as why. You are born of your karma, add to your karma condition, and you are what you are because of. Because you actually promoted this teaching, anasana, or this type of meditation, and it's deep inside you, where you believe this is the thing. So that's why this life you come, you also will go into this, anasana. Like my physics teacher said, he said, how come 15 years I lost inside there without knowing? I thought I'm teaching Vipassana. That is what happened. So for him, it's the same. Then after that, I said, you don't worry. If you go there, in the retreat, where he was more senior, and he has to like play the role of helping out and all those things. Then sometimes he observes. But now, he do not promote already. He observed and he waited for people to actually see him or talk to him. Then genuine seeker, he will try to help. Then Brother Chia, he helped, he talked to him. I told him, I said, if you see them confused already, like cannot really, because that time of meditation, initially very good one. You go there, 10-day retreat, very beautiful, calm. But because it's not the awareness based on. So later on, they do longer, they get into trouble. Then I told you one lady, he thought it was a dream. No? At night when he was sleeping, he was in the retreat. No? The first few retreat, 10 days, very good. Then after that, the 30 days or what, he got a shock of her life. No? He dreamed that somebody, the Mara, pulled her hair out from the skull. No? He woke up, that skull really with the hair pulled out, the blood everywhere. She got a shock of her life. Then they sent her to hospital, emergency. Luckily she survived. Then she dare not go and touch this type of meditation anymore. Then many years later, somehow he went to Champaka where I was teaching the meditation. He came. Then he listened from the back. Then after the talk, she is not part of my Kayamita. I don't know her. She approached me alone. He said, Brother Teo, thank you for the talk. I said, now I understand what happened to me. Then he explained to me what he went through. So I told him, when you touch psychic energy field, you go into concentration, absorption, you will actually attract the non-human, the Mara. Then this Mara is their way is to test cultivator understand? Those who go the wrong way, they come and test you and haunt you and get you into trouble. You remember during the Buddha's time? They even wax Sariputta. You understand? Bungalana got psychic can see. That Mara flew over. Yaka. Whack, Sariputta. So Mongalana thought, finish it. Then after that, Mongalana come out. Sariputta come out. Mongalana asked, what happened just now? He said, I don't know. Nothing happened. Actually, the yaka get into trouble. Because you whack a virtuous one. But the Mara, the other one, this one is yaka, yakini or yaka, I don't know. The other one is the Mara. He come and test you and attack you when you do psychic. It's like that. So because of that, this lady actually come to know, then he understand and he thanked me and he said, until today he dare not go and do that type of meditation. So I said, then you learn Dhamma. listen and understand the teaching safer. Understand? If you want to do awareness-based meditation. So for Song's case, not so bad. He didn't kena all this. She actually developed quite well at that time. But that is the teaching. So when he saw Chia, got some form of doubt and all things, then he talked to Song. Then Song looked at him, pity him, and said, okay. He don't encourage him to do all these things again. He said, okay, if that's the case, I recommend you to go and see Brother Teo. He said, he can guide you and he can really teach you. Then he came, and he became very different. Then the wife also followed him. That's why a few retreats they come together. Yeah. But now I don't know what happened to him. You still got contact? But he is very good already. After he come here, first day retreat and the first half of second day, he really asked me those type of questions. It's like challenging me, And you know what happened? Every time he asked those type of questions, I answer him very beautifully and very well. Until the second day morning, after that, he decided to pay respect. Then came and see me. He said, "Brother Teo, can I meet you? I got something to discuss here." I said, "Can." After lunch, I don't know what I remember, I sat here and he came. He said, "Let me pay my respect to you." He said, "Pay respect." Then he asked for forgiveness. I said, "Why?" He said, "I was actually testing you." I said, "I know." Because his question is like, you are not really someone who have the understanding, he will corner you on understanding. And very difficult for you to explain your way out. But because the type of meditation I do is so different from his, so everything that he hurdle at me with the question, I can answer. Then he convinced already, Then he said he want to learn. Then I'm very surprised, where he got a video. I straight away tell him, "Listen, I draw the triangle." Then he understand. I say, if you use thought base, you go that direction, understand not? The senses there, and create the five hindrances of mind. Then the psychological time, mundane thinking, then thought base, condition state. If you silence your mind, develop the awareness, then you go this direct seeing, wisdom way. Oh, he was full of joy. Then after that, he go back, he progressed, he become very different. Then he encouraged the wife and all those things. But the wife somehow tried very hard, but not easy, not easy. Without the awareness developed, not easy. So coming back to Song, okay? What is happening is, like I said, it's not from the thought and the sound. That thing flash into this one, then it come out. And this is what the nature is capable of. Then all this that you have come to know that you have misled people, then especially I ask you to ask for forgiveness or say, if you have done it, then initially it will break that karmic obstruction. Means you will not like go back to that one where you ask for forgiveness. So in future you come, that thing won't attract you already because of your vow. You want to learn this type of awareness-based meditation. All this right view now you understand already. And you cannot go back to there where you ask for forgiveness. That three advice to ask for forgiveness, triple gem, all beings, and all other beings that are not covered. So once you do that, you will become different. But what happens is when that message comes, is to let you know that what you have misled, the past is already gone, you cannot change. So those beings cannot find a way and they will be in samsara. They have their karma. So you don't have to worry. But because your compassion, you're full of compassion, you cry actually. Then later on, the real message comes. Cultivate. Develop the ability to take them all across. then completely the thing, like completely gone. Yeah, when you went to Pusian there, then you don't know what is that, because you already have the answer, like what you came to know. When you cultivate, when the time comes for you to take them across, you have this pure wish that may they come, arise again through whatever rebirth when you are around, and you will take them all across. Means like cover your mistake and yourself. So whatever it is, the nature's law is the nature's law. Whatever that is already over is over. The past is already gone. So don't hold on to it. Well, these are nature's law. After all, form and mind not so real, not what you think. They have their karma. If they have affinity, they will come. Well, you ask for forgiveness, that's it, finish. Then your karmic entanglement is resolved. Yeah. So that is the understanding that you will develop. Yeah. Okay? Sahadu, sahadu. Can still continue. Push it up, push it up.
Because 还有10分钟, 如果要进到这一次的 experience, 是一个很大的一个 topic, maybe 明天 continue
可以,
on
可以,
这个,
yeah,
so maybe we talk about others.
可以。
Barry 每次是讲我在 Ajahn Anand 那边, 哦, 一听到那个 mantra, 那个 chanting, 哦, 就 connect 什么, maybe 很多人不知道他是怎样的 happen.
对对对，那个情形来describe.
So 2014年 Yun Chan organized 去 Wat Ma Jam. 我从来没有去过 Forest Monastery. So 哇，我就跟着他去了。 Then 到了那边，他的那个 meditation hall, 他每一天早上 lay person 跟那个 monk for the 4点多就会在那个 hall 里面 meditate。 到了5点半的时候, 他会放一个 chanting to indicate 那些 monk 要去 Bindabat 了, so lay person 可以 continue 去 meditate. So that day the morning, 我 as usual 我就坐在里面. Then 那一天他的 condition 是他放了这一个 Imiwi 的 Sanskrit 的 Heart Sutra, 我没有听过, 我第一次听. And then, 那个他的那个 Ajahn Anand 的那个 meditation hall, 他的那个 sound system very good,
yeah,
你懂吗? 哇，那个 Heart Sutra Sanskrit 的 Heart Sutra 就在那个 hall 里面哦, then 我就在那边 sitting 咯, 我就这样子 meditate, 我就这样听, 听到一半时候，我的一滴眼泪
yeah,
就从我的右边的眼睛这样子流下来,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
哦, 然后我回来 Martin 就讲, 哦, connect, 哈。
So, no, because you told me after that appendix 3, you read, so clear, no, last time cannot understand, read 6 times also cannot understand. No. But after that, everything is so clear, no. Then I say, you connect already, otherwise you won't. Then he very confident, he knows something happened. No. Because for the first time after so many years, cannot understand, then know that the appendix 3 is important, Krishnamurti code, not easy one, no. But somehow, he said, after that incident happened, at night before he sleep, he will read through, very quiet. So when he read through, so strange, you know? Everything like easy to understand and so clear to him. You know? That's why after that, I say, connect already. But the only thing he later on kena is because he has been so habitual in using the thought to analyze, to actually, the other one is what? Analyze and what? No, not investigating. Reasoning. Analysis and reasoning. You only reason. But, why is this? Because he thought he connect already. All this thing won't happen. He said, not like that one. This is your thought telling you. I repeated more than 10 times. No, your thought telling you, Then later on he sing in. No. That's why not easy. And so after he connect, doesn't mean that straight away he completely understand. But the habitual things still come, no. Then he find it strange, Then initially, like, need to remember, you know, scared, don't remember, don't have the understanding, you know. So all these things have been playing through it because of what happened to him last time. He teach people the other time. That's why not very easy for him to, like, immediately connect and flow into it. So he has to go through that one, which is good, because after that he understand. That's why in the Thursday class, oh, there is joy. He can understand, no, everything that happened. No. Then the Dhamma flow out just naturally. That's why you look at the transcript, or he like aha moment a lot, no. See the whiteboard, went in already. Then heard psychological time, then connect already, the whole movement and all those things. Then this morning on, you want to share? No? He told me during lunchtime. Tomorrow, there was no, you continue, finish this one.
我早上5:30这样子眼泪这样子流出来, but 我没有 difference, 我还是, 我不像今天早上, 哇, 每一个人的, 哦, 哇那种, 我只是这样一滴眼泪这样子流出来, 但是我11点, after lunch, 我去, 因为 Ajahn Anand的那个观音的那个 hall, 在山上, 等我11点 after lunch 了以后，我就慢慢走上那个山， 我要去 pay respect to 那个观音。 等那个 chanting Sanskrit 的 chanting 就在这里自己跑出来，
自己跑出来，
就一直唱一直唱。
That is what activate your nature and allow you to connect because of your affinity with 观音 and all things. And meant to be, where your time come already, where that time he very sincere. So he never go to this type of monastery before. That's why forest monastery he went. And he should thank Yun Chan. Yun Chan very good. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
然后第二个就是 我 during 在 我 stay in Wat Ma Jam 的时候 就有3个的 aha 就这样子，他就像 click 那个 understanding 这样子出来，有3次。有一次是我在冲凉的时候，我这样子冲一下，就一个 understanding 出来。那有一次是我在走路这样子下去的时候，那个 understanding 出来，awaken.
Well, once you connect, life itself is your greatest teacher, understand? Then truth is everywhere. Then you contemplate and reflect, the understanding come on, understanding come on. That's why after that he read the appendix 3, no more problem already. Very good.
然后第三个，我在那一边发现到我有这三个的不一样，就是那个哈苏特拉自己的在 heart 这边会自己的 play 然后第二个就是有3个 aha 然后第三个就是 我看这个 appendix 3的时候，咦，怎么我可以知道的？可以了解的
so different. Last time read 6 times cannot go in, don't know what is head or tail. Then suddenly when you connect, that's why I say, don't try to know, don't try to like find out whether you progress. The moment you connect to the pure awareness nature, pachetang, you transform on, then you can understand on. Then all this understanding, you will actually recall. Either recall or it will manifest for you to see. That's why this teaching comes from the silent mind. You must connect to develop the stability of the sun. You know with that chanting coming out by itself, no more from the recorder come out. No, from itself, internally, like the Amitofo behind my brain here. Amitofo. It play at the back here, not external music. Then my awareness, then the clarity, everything there. So for his case, all same. Then if you want to know this, Alicia is the best. He got a lot of affinity with all the beings. The first one is Ti Zhang Wang Pusa. He didn't even know who Ti Zhang Wang Pusa is initially. Then he went to that Xuan Hua's temple. Zi Ying Tong, I think, in Ampang Road there. Teng Bi An, sorry, not Zi Ying Tong, Teng Bi An. So he suddenly was sitting there. Then suddenly there was a message to go to that statue, which is Ti Zhang Wang Fusa. Then he sat there. Then suddenly a type of chanting come by itself. Then he was in tears. Then she don't know what this is. Then he went back and Google. Then realized it was Ti Chang Long Pusa. Then only he came to know that there was Ti Chang Long Pusa. Then Jun Ti Pusa. Understand? Then a lot of other. The chanting just come. And a lot of people follow me, put all some spiritual trip or what. Even Anne, last time I go India, the chanting was with her. All the time, from the time he bought the train until the trip finished, he come back. Because there was a monk that took them there. And the monk taught them to, like, Buddha, 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 understand? She said, I cannot Buddha, that thing inside there. Playing. Oh, and very phenomenal. Don't worry, spend a bit more time. No chanting tonight. So what happened was, all these are possible. You must have faith. You must cultivate affinity with all these great beings. And when it comes, it's at the time when you don't expect anything. When you look forward to this manifesting, cannot happen. Understand? Just sincerely pay respect, cultivate affinity. Then when the time comes, look at all those, some new one also, that thing just happened. And this is what cultivation is all about. Continue. So.
Then 我回来了，有一天我 evening 我去 jogging 的时候, 没有放 in mind 哦，就那个 awareness 这样子吃，对，你说对
，Yes, when you are with that 啦。 There is no ego, nothing on. Nothing inside that one. Just the form and mind move. With full awareness. That's why he can progress very fast and he can develop the understanding very fast. So once he stabilized all the, his bodhisattva while stable, he will progress very fast. Then future life, even before this sasana end, you will progress very fast. Yeah, this style of understanding very difficult to come by. And this one, bullet train now, very fast one. Sadhu. Hi, hi, you are. Continue.
稍微讲一下今年. OK, 1月的时候, repentance 的这个东西 appear 了以后, then, 我在 before Chinese New Year 1月的时候, 我带我的妈妈去 Aeon, The moment 我一进到 Aeon 里面，哇，那个新年歌是在这一边的，是啊，然后我就，怎么，不是在这边的，
No longer at the brain，
是这个，我，然后我就，我讲，是不是，confusion， 然后我就silent，真的，那个新年歌，全部，
you know how to listen from the heart already， so this is the art of listening from the awareness， understand？ Then everything you do, once it come down here. This one weakened, no? Understand? Do you know your head, all your senses is just below your brain, no? Your ear, your eye, your nose, your tongue, and your tactile. That's why they are very near to your brain, no? That's why the sense data come, consciousness going, then this one stir, understand? But when you listen from the heart, you cut off the memory, understand? The views, the opinion, the consciousness, that one cannot come so far. And this one, when you are able to connect and hear, your yoniso manasikara, your direct seeing, would have actually transformed your understanding. That's why the brain there, you realize they cannot intervene there, not like last time already. You know, they cannot like cause you to react and stir. But initially, the habitual tendencies you can. Yeah? Like that moment when it happened, the habitual tendencies still stir. But they will know one. Yep. Immediately, yoniso manasikara come out, then they know what to do. They can accept the reality of the moment. Condition like that, things will be like that. Or sankara anicham, sankara dukkham. Then they will not continue with the thinking already. So all this will manifest. That's why the cultivation is so different from Thotbe. Thotbe, you never experience this type of mind. Complete, tranquil, still, no thought. You cannot do one. Okay, very good. 还有什么?
没有啦。就 but 这一个 listen from 这个 heart 这一边的这个 experience 带到我来这一次的
retreat
哇，真的是很多的这个 understanding 很多的这个realization
fasting also
我想是因为我的师父回来了，不是我师父回来，是我回去我师父那边了。
普贤普贤，got great affinity with普贤 Samantara Badara. When he went with me spiritual trip, many years back, we went to 普贤 place, 二眉山哈。He cried like anything. The crying like sobbing one. Until Mr. The one that took us there, one, he came and talked to me. He produced you. A song, 怎么事 is it? 是不是 something long? He said, it worse than funeral crying. Wow, really? What is all? Then I said, 没事没事前世因 I said, past affinity with the great being. He can't understand. So he wants to find out. He go near song. He want to observe.He also cried. Then he walked away very far, still cried. Then he go and ask Kaimita, hey, 怎么奇怪了？为什么阿松哭我也哭？ Then they all say, you go and ask Brother Tio. 他来问我。Then I say, that's why you can end up become our guide, our agent, Tao Yu, take us there. Because you also have affinity with Pusian. That's why after that he changed.He liked our Kaimita, and he got so much joy taking us around. And he said he don't want to make profit at cost and all those things. Then got one year he actually lost money. Last year, Fan Qing San, Wu Tai San, he actually lost money. But we tell him, don't worry, we will compensate him. So all this, it will...manifest, and that's all. So all this crying one, that's why he said, 我的师父回来了, in 普贤, the nature, come back. That's why can progress. All the aha moment, everything that manifests. Continue. 讲完了。
2014年 Brother 你在南美山跟我说普贤菩萨要带我。但是我就每天在等我想都没有的。But 观世音菩萨真的是好。我跟观世菩萨观世菩萨在尼泊尔 manifest 在泰国 manifest 在马六甲都一直在 guide 我在这个mindfulness 但是我就是一直没有等到这个普贤菩萨但今年一月这一个 dream 这个repentance 的这一个incident 它一 reflects 的时候
对
那个后面的那一句话说找普贤菩萨就回来了然后就很奇怪的，在这个二月三月，因为Sister Portugal他们要去峨眉山，
对，
但Alicia就时常跟我讲，峨眉山普贤菩萨，峨眉山普贤菩萨，然后就好像，然后 end up Alicia自己去，然后又峨眉山普贤菩萨，我说，然后我就在三月尾的时候讲，我想好像不对劲哦，这一整个月哦，你就是峨眉山普贤菩萨，峨眉山普贤菩萨
，The sign will come on, it keep on reminding you one. Meant to be will be one, cannot run on us. Why only song? You all never hear. Very good.
就他上个拜一，他从峨眉山回来，他就给了我一本《普贤菩萨本愿经》。
哇，沙丘啊，沙丘。
来了了，
所、
以、我就晚上，其实我就放在我的书桌，我就在旁边，哇，我里面就一直全身的就
vibrating，
我只是放住在旁边罢了，哇，一直在 vibrating， 然后来到了这一里，我每天都有下去，actually 我每次的 retreat 早上我都没有上来的，
对，
每一次after chanting 完了，我都是在那边在普贤旁边那边静坐。哇，你这次真的是 really 看到他在 guide 我，就很多的 understanding， 很多的 penetration， 所以明天我们再来 share 那一个，
可以可以 ，Let's rejoice， 沙的沙的沙的 ，That's why all these are not fairy tale。You find out yourself, understand? This one is the cultivator themselves experience, go through, and in their own word, they share with you, understand? This is the real one, understand? Otherwise, all these things cannot happen, and he cannot have the understanding so fast. Understand? Or? Then he himself know one. Understand? Or? That's why you will start to understand after that how the sign keep on coming. Meant to be, will be. So don't ignore the sign. Learn how to see the sign. But people who don't have all this experience or understanding and cultivation, they will think, what are you trying to tell me? He say, all this is imagination. What imagination? Not till it hit you, then you know what is this. Because these are real happening that can manifest when you have developed the inner awareness, the stability, when you connect. A lot of things happen to you. And your understanding just arises by yourself. Then when you have somebody to guide you, you listen, you penetrate faster. Understand? You progress faster. That's why this year, I remember I told Padma Sri there and my wife there, the Kayamita force is very strong. A lot of things are going to happen. And now you witness. So many things happen. Even new people also happen. That one is beyond my imagination, beyond my wildest dream. I never expect them to progress so fast, understand? To develop that. But because of Chunti also mainly. So meant to be will be. That's why I say, you are meant to be here, you will be here. You are not meant to be here, you cannot be here. Oh, very good. Let us sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now we will do sharing of merit, transfer of merit, then we end. We are a bit late. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana etavata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalina sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mabe bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Queen Bodhisattva and all the great beings. Then we end.
So everyone, before we call it a day, let's pay our respect to the Triple Gem and Bratio. Bow.